Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The Brewing Network Sunday Session is brought to you by More Beer. Featuring the new easy-to-sanitize threaded diffusion stone. Check out the new threaded diffusion stone at morebeer.com. Item number KEG590.
We bought Dogfish Head's old brew house. They just have a more of a connection with this living organism. And let me tell you, that was a piece of shit.
Well, it doesn't help that we got like 12 dudes in here.
I feel like Sam bent me over.
Preferentially, I think you'd be naked the entire time.
Sam's a walking boner.
Well, don't get used to it.
Going right now.
Yeah. I don't get those cues that well. Maybe because I'm not freaking gay.
Sometimes you need to take a step back and just go.
You're kind of small. You're climbing that manhole pretty easy.
In defense of your wiener, your balls are gigantic.
No.
Seriously, weird sideshow big. No. Sweet God.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Session. What are we, back to old school audio problems, Jeppo?
I think so, buddy. Apparently, people were on the high speed earlier and no audio at all. And then they go to the dial-up, and they can hear now.
Only on dial-up they can hear.
Only on dial-up.
So what's wrong with that?
I could stop.
Feel slower?
I could stop it all.
Hold on to your butts.
Montage.
All right, I've rebooted. So let's see if that does anything fancy for them.
All right. I hope everyone starts complaining.
And I don't have audio on the webcam today either, because I'm missing it. It's a long story. I could potentially fix that if I ditch Skype. I could give you audio on the webcam.
Not worth it.
So,
unless you want to hear us talk smack during the breaks.
Probably not going to get a bunch of Skype calls anyway, and usually the ones we get we don't really want.
Well, speaking of both of those, Blobber is in the chat.
So. Right. So that's what I'm saying. We could... and before we experience any other audio problems, a la the guy mowing his lawn across the road, kill that window next to you, will you, Jipper?
Yeah, it's hot, though.
Yeah, well, like you've never been into a hot studio here.
Never.
All right. Hey, the boys are back in town. Wait.
What?
I don't know.
That should be a song. We should write a song.
You think so?
Like that. Yeah.
It could go something like, the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Yeah. Something like that.
Somebody's getting laid or something.
Yeah.
High speed is up now for some people. So.
All right.
It'll
get there for everybody. Maybe it just needed to be redone. Redid.
Restroked.
Yeah. To restroke it. All right. So, yeah, it's just the boys back in the studio today. No guests. No beef whore. It's Mother's Day today. I don't know if you guys did anything for your mothers like you should have done.
I thought about her.
You did? All day?
Yeah, not all day.
Just when you woke up?
Well, when I hung out with your mom, I was like, I wish I had one.
I wish I had one of these. You can have mine.
No, that's right. Your mom has enough problems.
And most of them are me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a little Mother's Day. How fun is that? How family like is that? We did a Mother's Day with JP.
Yeah,
today.
Nice. Yeah, that was very nice. Yeah,
we went to a Volkswagen show at the Solano Fairgrounds.
Yeah,
we were Volkswagen buddies.
We were,
and we went with the Woods. The Woods brought their Westie down.
Nice.
And checked it all. Brought my mom out. And then we went to Downtown Joe's and hung out with Colin a little bit because it was, we were already out there anyway, another 20 minutes. So we went there for lunch and had a couple of Colin's beers. Doing a bunch of remodeling at the Downtown Joe's.
Earthquake retrofit, I think is what it is.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, the place has been there forever. Yeah.
They essentially kind of have built a building inside the building, to keep it from, in case the outside continues to fall down, then they're all safe and covered. We're going to be back there in, it looks like, July. End of July. End of July, we're going to be doing another Downtown Joe's remote, so we got some time on that. You guys got some time to plan and come on out. So, yeah, that's what we did today, and the Beeve is with her mom here on Mother's Day, so it's just us. There's no guest. We're covering numbers in brewing today. You know,
numbers.
One of my favorite, favorite topics. Mostly about missing your numbers. Tasty's going to talk to us about why your brewing numbers are important and why they matter to you and why they don't matter to some of you. So we're going to cover that. And then Doc's going to help us troubleshoot when we miss our numbers. So I'll be listening a lot to what Doc has to say.
What do I do?
Today. Probably the same thing you always do.
Okay, what does Chad do?
Coming late.
Probably the same thing
jokes?
Chad always does.
Chad, we'll do it together.
Yeah.
Whatever
Let's
it is
do
we
it.
Do. Yeah.
You guys can just hold hands under the desk and support each other.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Why under the desk?
Well... No one wants to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw up in my mouth.
It is a live webcam.
Yeah.
With no audio.
With no audio.
Yeah. Blobber. Deal with it.
They're still yelling about there being no audio on the webcam.
Only Blobber. He goes, why isn't there?
Why?
There's no audio. And everyone's told him.
Why are you ruining my day?
Because he's not here to fix it.
Because he's Canadian.
No. Actually, everyone else has audio on the webcam except Canada. Which, it was a rights issue. It was a.
I thought we just had to make a choice. Had to cut somebody out.
Yeah, and it was Canada.
It's Canada.
There's a couple people listening on the iPhone app.
Oh, good.
Because of the high speed issues, or they're like, oh, I have audio now on the iPhone app.
Works great, and actually, it streams at a higher bit rate than anything else too. It's probably clearer. I think that one streams at like 64K, which is pretty good. For internet type audio.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a techie guy.
Well, you're not a techie guy, I know. Your guy told me like, oh really? My iPhone charges in like 3 minutes. And I was like, what the fuck are you? No, I'm telling you, I plug it in and it's just
full bar. I don't get it.
And I was like, oh wow, that phone really is something.
He paid extra for that one.
Yeah, you must have had to pay extra for that.
I had to explain to my wife today why her cell phone's always dead. Her new iPhone. It's not like your old one.
Yeah.
The battery gets just the life sucked out of it.
Right.
If she's on 3G all the time, especially where you are, it's going to choke it down.
We don't get a signal at my house, so if you don't turn it on airplane mode or turn it off.
It's constantly searching.
It's searching. Yeah. It just sucks it right out of it.
Yeah. She's not like searching porn and stuff all the time, is she? That could be
I haven't checked. I send her enough.
Yeah, she's just watching the stuff you send.
Yeah.
That's what's killing her battery. Did you do some Mother's Day festivities?
Basically got the house real clean for Mom this morning.
Attaboy.
She liked that, and then we went out for lunch, and then took the kids to a movie.
Okay.
A little family action.
All right. Chad, did you call your mother?
I did.
Are you lying to me?
She's working.
Oh, she is?
I called her, I left her a message, and I called the house, and my father picks up and goes, yeah, she's working.
She works at the Mohegan, right?
Yeah.
She works at the casino out there in Connecticut, and she gets like concert tickets and stuff, right?
Right. She just kind of ushers people to their seats and that kind of thing. So
it's a cool gig, man.
She gets to see all the comedians that come through, all the live bands and all that good stuff.
I bet she'll get to see Neil Diamond. Those casinos, they like to hire guys like Neil Diamond.
Sweet.
I'm going to have to ask her for some tickets. Yeah.
She said the thing that bothers her is like someone like Jerry Seinfeld will come through and do like 3 nights.
Yeah.
And she's there the 3 nights.
Oh.
She's like, I kind of know the show.
Well, that
the
and Jerry
thing.
Seinfeld sucks balls anyway. He hasn't been good since his show was off the air, right? So...
Why do I do the same act over and over again? I don't get it.
Exactly. So I'm going back east Memorial Day weekend, end of this month.
Why are you traveling on Memorial Day weekend, man?
Well, I'm...
What's wrong with you?
I don't have a job, so a couple days early I can leave and I can come home a couple days late.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I'm donutting Memorial Day weekend, basically. But going to New York City, got some friends that I can crash with there. So Fritz and you New Yorkers, might be able to see you guys out there in New York City. Send me an email.
Hope you remember more of it than me.
I hope I don't. It sounds like you had a good time.
I did.
So we're going to be there.
Fritz.
And then I'm doing the family thing over the Memorial Day weekend. My whole, it's like a family reunion type thing.
Another one of those?
Yeah. Well, most of my family's like dying off or has died. You know, we're one of those old families, you know, all the aunts and uncles and great aunts. And we were huge. When I was a kid, the family was massive.
Yeah, that's us too. And now I'm getting my
now there's like eight
brothers and sisters. Yeah, they're all starting to go. Oh, yeah. So they died? I haven't seen them in 20 years.
West Coast families traditionally aren't as old as those East, and old and big as those East Coast families.
That's
so
where we're from.
So. Yeah, yeah. So doing that whole thing.
And
maybe if they're, I got to look and see who's playing in Mohegan and see if maybe I got to hit up your mom for some ticks.
We can do that.
We're out there.
Check it out. Yeah, what are the dates you're going to go out there?
You can
say
see
it again.
ABBA.
The Memorial Day weekend, Memorial like Day. A couple days before and a couple. It's the last week of this month.
Yeah,
this week
check the calendar. See who's in town.
Did you call your mom today? In heaven?
I dropped to one knee and talked to her a little bit, yeah.
I thought your mom was alive.
No.
She's not?
Remember she died right before Burning Man?
Yeah, but thanks for bringing it up.
I thought it was that we were waiting on your stepdad to die before Burning Man.
Yeah, that too, but my mom died a while back.
Oh, and you still talk to the stepdad even though mom's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good boy.
He was my stepdad almost as long as my dad was my dad.
Ah, so he was like my stepdad.
Yeah.
No. So he's not.
Except you had overlap. I didn't have overlap.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's true. Tasty, did you call your mom in heaven?
No, I thought of her, though.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's got to do the right thing by their moms, right? So it's Mother's Day and all that. I bought my mom a cheeseburger today. That's what I did.
Sure did. Nice. In paradise, no less.
I bought her a cheeseburger in paradise.
Yeah.
I did dodge talking to my mother-in-law, though.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. You didn't have to talk to her?
Well, no.
Do Jewish moms celebrate Mother's Day?
Of course.
Oh.
And my wife was talking to her, and then the boys got called in to talk to her.
And what'd you do?
I saw the light go off on the phone, on the extension.
And then you came out from under the bed?
Yeah.
You go, oh, I didn't get to talk to you.
Oh, shoot. It's okay. We got to go.
Of course she celebrates Mother's Day. She gets something.
Yeah, true.
She didn't even talk to my mom. I didn't see you handing me the phone either.
Yeah. How awkward would that conversation have been anyway? Imagine, because, it's Doc, for one. And then, two, it's the mother-in-law. That combination just... Hi, happy Mother's Day. All right. Yep, talk to you later.
All right. But yeah, I'll be in town next week. Nah, I probably won't see you.
You are going down there next week, aren't you?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
All right. You staying with Big Tim while you're down there?
Nope, I got a hotel.
Okay.
But he's going to come down and rage with me.
And hang?
Yeah.
I got to hang with Big Tim for like a week.
I'm going to try to get to the brewery and hang out. I've never been to their tap room before.
Which one?
Oh, we...
The brewery.
Tim and I broke down right there, right near the brewery.
Yeah?
But we were working on getting our ass home, and his buddy gave us a ride, so we couldn't really dilly-daddle. So I didn't get to go. Plus, it was a Sunday, too.
I think they have their anniversary coming up, second anniversary.
Yeah, all right.
I'm targeting Friday night. They're only open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think, for their tap room.
They'll probably open for you. You just got to call them, man. Got to call a brother up.
Yeah, I'll let him know. But yeah, I'm targeting Friday night.
Oh.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed I didn't go. Yeah, broke down. Everyone thought I was going to be the one who broke down on the way home from the Homebrew Fest. It's Big Tim's truck broke down.
They was hauling all your shit in the big old trailer.
Yeah. Blew up the turbo.
Oh.
Did you see the picture of the turbo?
Yeah.
It's like it ate half of it away.
Yeah. Well, because we kept going. I don't know if you guys know that, but so we went down to the Southern California Homebrew Fest last weekend, for those of you who weren't listening. And what a great time, by the way.
Great time, man.
I loved that fest. I really enjoyed myself. Got real drunk on Saturday, but really enjoyed myself. A lot of beer. And you know what? And I mean this. A lot of good beer.
Yeah.
Things are changing, man.
Yeah,
you remember when I went to my first homebrew fest up here? I went to NorCal.
Yeah.
And I came back on the show talking about how shitty all the beer was. And I'm not just talking about NorCal. I'm talking about homebrew in general. And boy, is it getting good.
It's getting good.
You guys are starting to brew some great beer. Because I think I only had a couple of bad beers. And it was really just because they were experimental beers. Like people adding weird stuff to
it
just to try it out, and it didn't work out. So even that, I wasn't disappointed. It wasn't like I was given a Pilsner that was shit. I was given some really good beers. So I had a lot of fun down there meeting people, and Big Tim went with us. And then, on the way out of there, so we broke down. Well, we started to break down like 2 miles outside of Lake Casitas, right where we camped. But Big Tim's like, well, we're just going to go till she won't go anymore. And fuck, did we make it a long way? We made it all the way down to basically Placentia, Yerba Linda. Yeah, we made it to right there. And at that point, it just starts pouring white smoke out of the back. A cop ended up pulling up to us after we had pulled over, and he's like, yeah, we got about 3 phone calls about your smoke. Glad to see you're not on fire. They got those like gross polluter phone calls from us because I don't know what the deal is, but
it's
apparently
all steam. It's fine.
It's just steam.
But do these people need to turn you in?
I know. I've been turned in before too. I used to drive
It's not like you were meaning to do that.
Exactly. Well, they might have thought that in my last.
Oh yeah, you
car.
Drive everywhere like that.
It was like I was driving an '87 Cutlass Supreme.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cutty.
Mm-hmm.
Drop that Cutty.
A Cutlass.
Yeah, and I blew a head gasket. Kept going. You know, those things are... you can keep going. Fuck it. And, yeah, blowing white smoke everywhere. I got called in. I got turned in.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was a one-day thing, and, like, I do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like you drive everywhere like that. It's supposed to do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess once the turbo goes out on a diesel, it just starts smoking like mad. So it's pretty ugly. But I'm telling you, Tim pushed that thing. We made it a couple hundred miles
whatever,
like that.
It's broke. Yeah. It just keeps going, yeah.
Kept going. Anyway. It was a good time, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to go back to that fest already next year.
Yeah,
I say we put it on the calendar, and I think the only reason we haven't gone in the past is it's usually Boonville, but they switched the weekends this year, so we went for it. And
it is usually Boonville weekend.
You know what's different about the SoCal Fest I found from the Northern California Fest? And I couldn't figure out why at the time, but I think I've figured it out now. But so after the day's over, everyone just goes back to camp and passes out. Done. I mean, that place was a morgue at by like 9:30, 10 p.m. Right at NorCal. You know, you come back, you get yourself some dinner, and then you keep right on raging
into the wee hours.
Find
the next campfire and just keep raging.
Well, I figured it out. I'm pretty sure it's just because there's a hell of a lot more beer. There's about 3 times the amount of beer to try. There's more clubs down there and more people going to it. So we all just drank a hell of a lot more. Everybody did. And so by the time you get back to camp. So I was feeling pretty rocked when we were packing up down at the fest site and then heading back to camp. I sat down in the Shadillac, feeling pretty drunk, feeling good. When I got out of the Shadillac 5 minutes later at camp, I was drunk as a skunk. I came stumbling into Tim's trailer, and he just looked at me like, oh, have another one, Justin. Fed me some lasagna, and I passed out. That was that. But I think, do you agree with me? Do you think it's because of the amount of beer there is to try?
Absolutely. And every club had these like elaborate kegerators, you know, or whatever. They just brought these club
bars.
And
right.
So, yeah, I mean, tons of beers on tap.
Yeah.
I mean, just accessible, easy.
Yeah.
Walk right up, get whatever you want, and it's everywhere. You're right.
I must have tried 50
Crazy.
Beers. Yeah. I think I tried more beer at the SoCal Fest than I do at GABF.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because we weren't working. I love going to fest and not working, by the way. This should be a new thing of ours. I just got to hang out and meet people and drink beer. I should have put this in the business plan a long time ago.
Hey, how was Push's Bacon Hellas?
Un-bacony.
Ooh, I didn't
really?
Poor bastard. So Push, and I don't know if he's listening, he can call and tell it better than me, but so he spends the couple days before the SoCal Fest making a tincture?
Yeah,
that pronounced right?
Yeah.
Making a bacon tincture to put into his Hellas. But he wasn't going to tincture the beer until he got to the fest. So he put his jar of tincture. Yeah. He was going to do it in the keg. But for some reason, he wanted to wait till he got to SoCal. I don't know why. But he put the jar in his trunk and drove down. Well, it knocked over and he lost half of his bacon tincture.
Oh. His bacon tincture all over his trunk?
I think so, or wherever he lost it. Or maybe it was in the cooler. It could have been in the bottom of the cooler.
Hopefully it was contained.
And so he threw in what was left, and I couldn't taste it. I didn't taste any bacon. I was real disappointed. I'm sure he was, too. He spent all that time on the...
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. Wow.
Yeah, he was going to bacon a Hellas.
I'm just wondering if a tincture is the best way to get the bacon flavor out of that.
Just throw the bacon directly in, I think.
Yeah,
right?
There's other ways you can.
Well, he did that to enter. He entered nationals with it.
Oh, he did.
And he put the bacon right in it, and people were like, blah, blah, blah. There's bacon bits in here.
There are chunks
and it's like
bacon,
greasy. And so,
I like that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Now, so I had a couple of Drew's beer.
Drew Beecham?
Yeah, Drew Beecham. This man can brew.
Yeah.
And he made this a mead with Michigan cherries he put in it.
Yeah.
It's the best meat I've ever had in my life, hands down.
Really?
Everyone there was going nuts for it. He wasn't port. You had to give like the secret handshake or something. He was giving it out to everybody, but they just didn't put it on the list. Everybody I talked to, hey, did you have Drew's cherry mead? This thing was unbelievable. I'm telling you, hands down, the best meat I ever had in my life. Hmm. And then he had another couple of really good beers on there. Did you try his beers, Chad?
You know what? I didn't really get a chance to try them all.
Okay.
I had a couple. And one of the beers that stuck out of my mind was somebody had this like Reese peanut butter cup beer or something. Did you try that one?
I did try that one. Everyone was raving about it. It was all right.
It was pretty
good. Loved the idea. Yeah. And there was nothing wrong with it. It just... Yeah, it was a Reese's peanut butter cup beer, basically chocolate and peanut butter.
So a lot more of those kind of beers, like weird named beers and weird ingredients. Not like, oh, this is our barrel aged something. It was like just wacky stuff, which is kind of cool.
It was cool.
Yeah.
There was a guy in the tent kind of near us. I don't remember what the club was. I apologize. But he made a wheat beer that he put, basically put Kool-Aid powder, the Kool-Aid powder into. Yeah. Too much. It was like, it just tasted like Kool-Aid to me.
Wine Kool-Aid.
Other people were really liking it. You know, it did have a little, you know, it certainly was carbonated and it had a beer thing to it, but it was just real.
What flavor?
Yeah.
Red. Red flavor.
Red Kool-Aid flavor.
It was grape flavor. No, it's red flavored.
Red, whatever that,
But we met some fun listeners down there, and like I said, I'm ready to go back next year. I had a really good time, and
good.
I think we should make that a priority.
That's
on
great.
Our list.
A golf cart
and start and work.
Well, let's not push it, Doug.
I love the not working. It's great. We didn't do it. Everyone's asking, "Why aren't you guys? Are you guys doing a show?" What are you doing? Same thing you're doing.
Yeah, same as you, man.
Talking to you, buddy. Let's go get a beer.
Yeah, buddy.
We sold some T-shirts and stuff like that, but we just poured beer like a club. Yeah. People got to drink my Mirror Pond.
What do they think?
They liked it.
They were nice to me.
No, it's a really good beer. Everybody liked it.
Tasty was right, that fucker. Got all cloudy on the way down and never cleared up again.
Yeah, well.
Because you didn't filter it.
Just tell me I didn't filter it.
Just tell me dry hopped it.
It tasted even more bitter, cloudy like that, too.
Yeah.
With all the junk up in it.
You get that yeast bite, and it just kind of gets your tongue.
I didn't like it. I was disappointed in that because I liked it at home, even though the problem with the beer was that it was too bitter to begin with. So then when it got all shaken up with the junk, it was even more so.
Yeah, the hops were hung up in that junk.
Yeah. People were nice to me, though. They drank quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
Did we bring any back?
We did.
All of it.
Not much. Not much.
Oh, not so.
But I think we all had a little bit of beer left. I mean, there's so much beer, like you said. So.
We brought a lot, and everyone, a lot of others. And anyway, good time.
Oh,
so.
Tasty's totally out, I guess.
I was totally out.
Yo, you ran. And at the end of the night, too, we ended up taking Tasty's 2.5s just walking around serving people.
Yeah, it wasn't like we were trying not to give it away. We pushed it around a little bit, too,
That was the only time that I found some people douchey, and I think it was because they weren't homebrewers. At that point, there were some just, like, festival goers.
Yeah, there's some of those.
Drunk festival goers?
Just drunk festival goers. Because I go around, and it was me and Bevo walking around, and I'd say, hey, you know, would you like some great beer? And they would just kind of look at you funny, like I was going to give them something laced with LSD. And whereas the home brewers, you know, you could tell, they'd be like, absolutely. Yeah. Whose is it? Oh, it's Tasty's. Great. I'd love to try some. The other people they'd think about it for a minute, kind of give you a dirty look. I ended up just walking away from those people. I was real drunk, too, so I ended up going, well, fuck you then. I'm trying to give you beer. Just walk away. I got real angry when they didn't want your beer.
It's like when your brother tries to give you something free. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, but it's not at a homebrew fest, right?
Well, if you're a homebrewer, but if you're just a festival, it's like, why are you giving away? What's wrong with it?
Everybody who took it, though, got a real treat.
What'd you spit in it?
What did I have? Did I have the Janet's Brown, or did I have your IPA?
I forget what you had. I think you might have had the Janet's Brown, actually.
Mm-hmm. That was a good time.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so if you were ever wondering, and you're in the SoCal area, is that a fest you should go to? I think everybody in this room who's been to it gives a thumbs up on that one. It was a good time. And
thanks to the Temecula guys for letting us camp on them. Those guys were great.
Yeah, we got hooked up because apparently the Lake Casitas camp area, you could camp like 5 miles away from where the fest site is. It's huge. I'm not exaggerating. Somebody told me their camp was 5 miles down the road or something. So the Temecula Homebrew Club, really gracious, gave us our own spot to pull in Big Tim's RV, put up the tents all around it. Really nice guys. We ended up within walking distance to the fest site because of them. And cool guys. They hung out with us quite a bit on Friday night, and nobody hung out on Saturday night. We all passed out together. Those guys were all gone. We were up pretty early too, 9 a.m. or something, camp was empty. I don't know, those Temecula guys got Sunday things to do or something. They're gone by 6 a.m.
Well, they went to bed so early, you know. That,
yeah.
Had to get up early, too.
Good guys, though. So thank you, Chad, for reminding me about that. Thanks to the Temecula Homebrew Club for putting us up and putting up with us, too.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was very cool. At one point, so on Saturday night, you know, we all pass out. And I don't know what time Saturday morning, 4 a.m., 3 a.m., I don't know. Our stereo that's sitting outside just turns on, and it's cranked. It's on 11, and it must have been on for 5 minutes because my ass isn't going to wake up. Chad finally got up, shut it off, and I think we still don't know what happened. It just turned itself on.
So it's satellite radio, so it probably lost the signal.
Okay. And
then
just came back on.
We just assumed we turned it off because it was quiet. We went to bed.
That's a good point.
Just middle of the night, just popped on.
So weren't people like cussing at you when you went out to turn it off?
I thought you had said
something like people were like, you fuckers.
Yeah, like, what an asshole or something. Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it was loud. We probably woke up the entire B area that we were in. It was loud.
Same thing this weekend, too. Like, Boonville, I mean, car alarms going off and people, like, screaming. And,
right.
You know, yeah, people get all pissed off. Yeah, it happens.
When you're camping with, you know, 1,200 of your closest friends, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially drunk. When you all passed out.
Yeah, drunk.
But that was loud. And, I mean, no one moved. I was the only one. I was like, all right, goddammit, I'm getting up.
Well,
I was waiting for it to turn off.
I didn't hear it until you got up, because then I heard you jump over me. And then I was like, oh, yeah, what the fuck is that? Chad comes back in all grumpy. Jesus Christ. Son of a...
People yelling at me and shit.
Yeah.
You know Big Tim heard it. He's just sleeping. He
it's right below his window there.
Yeah. He just was like, I don't care.
I'm sure he had earplugs in, too. Yeah.
Right. Oh, man.
Tasty passed those out.
Yeah, I didn't hear a thing. I'm sleeping on the ground right next to it, I think.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks. Special thanks to our sponsor, More Beer. They're the official sponsor of the Sunday Session this week and every week. You can go to morebeer.com and check it out. Lots of new items going up there all the time, and we appreciate their support. They specifically bring you this show, so thanks to them. Like I said, this is the What to Do When You Miss Your Number show, and Tacy's going to talk to us about why numbers are important to you, and talk to those of you who could care less about numbers, too, because some of you don't need to worry about
all
that business.
Still going to listen.
Yeah. And then Doc's going to help us learn what to do when we miss those things. And everyone, of course, will chime in on that. I'm sure JP is very familiar with missing his numbers.
Yeah.
Ugh. Didn't you just brew with your nephew this week?
I did, yesterday.
How'd that go?
It went pretty well.
And what's your nephew, like 8?
He is turning 8 tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, he's
20. You brew his favorite beer for him?
Yes, I did.
You didn't burn him or anything, did you?
I tried.
Barley wine kind of guy?
Yeah. You brewed his favorite barley wine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 20.
Okay.
And so we kind of made a oatmeal stout recipe and burned
that
it.
That he can't touch for a year?
It's too bad he can't drink it. Yeah. What a shame.
Well, he comes over and, you know, look, maybe when I'm not looking, he may get a beer every now and then.
That would be wrong, though.
I know, but I'm not looking.
But you left it out where a minor can get
to it. No, it's in the chest freezer and it's locked and he...
Oh.
Yeah. So it's weird.
Keys and made
weird.
A set.
It's
and
weird. Then, it's weird how drunk he gets.
Yeah, it's really weird. And then he posts that shit on Facebook.
Right.
He'll go like, oh, man, this beer that my uncle... What is wrong with you, dude?
And he's got your panties on his head.
Yeah.
And he takes the photo.
Well, they're more of like a thong, really, but...
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, so there's the other thing I want to talk about before we get into our topic and the feedback. And I kind of like not having a guest because I just keep rambling. I don't care.
Ramble.
So how about the Brewing Network Club being in first place right now in the country?
Oh, really? Huh?
You know? What a monster that is.
Pretty good. So now Tasty's prediction was it would take us another couple years to do what we've done this
year. Not this
year,
but next year. Well, we haven't won it yet.
No, we haven't won Club of the Year. You're right. But those BNers, man, all across the country, the Midwest region did real well. In fact, I think the Midwest region did
and
exceptionally
the
well for us. Northeast.
Well,
that's right. Northeast and the Midwest did exceptionally well for the BN Club. You know, you guys out there, the BN Army, you don't have your local club and you put us down. Well, I think we advanced, it's like 50 or 51 beers to the second round, which gave us the most points in the country going into the second round, with Doe's being a very, very, very close second.
It's a close race.
Yeah.
In the top three
Real
spots.
Real close, yeah.
And who's third? Is it St. Paul again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is St. Paul
They're
again.
Right there, too. So.
I mean, Gordon Strong had something like 16 entries make it to the second round. That, that bastard. I got to get him to jump ship over here, too. All you guys, I gotta get all you guys to jump ship will be unstoppable.
Yeah. There won't be one club then.
Yeah, that's true. Once again, from the Brewing Network, yeah. It's going to be interesting. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's anybody's race because we all have a fairly equal amount of beers in the second round, you know, and that's where it's really going to count to see how they do from here. I'm real curious to see. But how fun would it be if the BN wins? You know how the whole club gets to go stand up on stage when the club wins?
Yeah.
They might have to reinforce the stage.
Yeah.
There's a lot of BNers out there.
Exactly. Oh, man.
I mean, if every BNer at the banquet, if you listen, you're part of the BN Army. That's as far as I'm concerned. You're in the club, whether you entered under that club or not.
Yeah.
Except for Chad. That fucker doesn't get to get on stage with us because he entered under Doe's.
That's right,
this
he
year.
Did.
I'll even let the... Yeah, but I expect it out of these two schleps. Not out of you.
He actually goes to the meetings.
I don't care.
He does.
He's not allowed up there. Everybody in the room's allowed up there. Chad's going to be the one guy sitting out at the table. No, but can you imagine? Half that room gets up and stands on stage at the BN Club wins. That'll be a lot of fun.
And they all got to hug Charlie.
Great. Yeah. Oh, poor Charlie. Oh, the BNers, too. Oh, boy, we'll be all over that poor guy.
We should have something that they have to do every
isn't
time.
Isn't Charlie a BNer?
Yeah. They have to go through each,
come on over.
Each time you go up and get an award, you have to do the same thing to Charlie. I don't know what
everybody
it is.
Does. Yeah. It's true. We need to teach Charlie the secret handshake or something, you know.
The wiener wag.
The wiener wag.
Yeah.
Right.
Just bump wieners with Charlie.
So I think that the banquet's going to be real exciting this year. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens.
People will be counting the medals as they're announced.
Yeah.
Yes, they'll be have their tally sheets going.
Yeah, it's that close.
Yeah, yeah.
Squeaky close.
So how exciting. So for me, a big congratulations and a thank you to everybody in the Brewing Network Club and everybody who entered your beers under the Brewing Network Club.
Congratulations on the great beer.
Because this is cool, yeah, and apparently you guys are brewing some great beer.
Yes, that's great.
50 or 51 beers, I forget what it is, that made it to the second round. That's great. That's good odds right there, folks. Good odds. So let's see.
That's some pride, though.
I'm worried that if the BN Club doesn't win this year, they'll never have a chance again.
Why? They'll change the rules?
That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid.
The rules have already been changed.
Well, you know how it's going to. People are going to bitch. I mean, they are going to bitch about.
You can't blame the BN for that. It's not. They're just. It's the rules.
Yeah. It is just the rules. And people who are entering under this club do not have a local club or are not interested in their local club. We're their club. But it doesn't matter. You can be as rational as you want. You know that the shit's going to hit the fan if the BN wins.
Oh, yeah.
Even comes close to winning.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm afraid if we don't win this year, that's it. They're going to make rules that eliminate us from the run.
Well, they should have club of the year and then internet club of the year. Then split it out.
No.
It's the internet. Come on.
Come on.
It's not going to... I'm just saying.
No, no, no.
I don't like
if
that
if they
either.
Have an issue.
Because yeah, we're a club. Just That's like having the Olympics and the Special Olympics. I don't agree with that either. Put us all in one.
That's true.
You know?
Usain Bolt and retarded kid running together.
Yes. Caller, you're on the air. What's happening? Yo. Caller. All right, good effort.
I know what he's going to say.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
He was going to say, the dynamic here is a little bit different than we understand it, though. We have 51 beers advancing in the BN. Well, people that make the rules don't know that that's actually 51 going right up to 100 next year. They don't know that, see?
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Well, this is the BN at a point in time.
Oh, I see.
Right? A year ago, we wouldn't have had 51 winners.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we weren't that many, you know, people entering under the BN.
Right.
A year from now, it's going to be even more.
If
we don't win this year, we'll win next year. But even if we win or lose this year, they're not going to have enough. They're not going to take action because they don't know their action to take.
I see.
Yeah. They're going to win every year.
It's going to more than double, I think, if it's going to go that direction.
Yeah, we're going to. If we don't win this year, we're going to win next year without even a contest. We'll win it in the first round.
Right.
And then after that, it won't be a contest anymore anyway, and then all the air's out of the balloon.
Then we'll say,
great. And I knew this would happen. The BN's going to be responsible for ruining the entire national competition, the club competition.
The whole thing's going to collapse. Nobody's going to care.
We will have control.
Nobody's
going
to brew anymore.
Right.
We can do what we want with it.
It'll end up being that the BN has to like subdivide and compete against each other.
State by state.
There'll
obviously.
Be BN West, BN Northeast.
Every state.
You see what I'm
we
saying?
We have so many, yeah. We can do it by state.
It could.
And still win.
It could happen. Legitimately, realistically.
Oh my God.
And the winner for 2057, BN Wisconsin.
Putting the South Wisconsin.
Yeah,
right.
We had to
yeah.
split Wisconsin.
Yeah. BN South, Eastern, other side of the tracks, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a party.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to this awards banquet, I'll tell you right now.
The closest one in a long time is what I'm saying, yes.
It'll be fun.
Let's enjoy it.
Ever again.
Be a lot of fun. All right. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. All right, BNA 5 tickets, VIP tickets are sold out. You can no longer get in at the 6 o'clock. Is it 6 o'clock or is it 7 o'clock?
Yeah, when did that sell out?
Sold out a couple weeks ago, actually.
Who got the last one?
I don't know. I didn't look. It's my mother's department. He does all the shipping, you know.
You're looking in your mother's department?
So the VIP tickets are sold out, but you can still get general admission tickets through Northern Brewer. Go to northernbrewer.com. They're a little cheaper because we don't feed you the Paxton food, and you don't get the special beers that Chad's working on bringing out for us either. So you can still go. Don't worry about it. You just missed that first hour VIP session, that's all. But you still get the shuttle bus action to and from. You're taken care of, so don't worry about it. Go get your tickets at Northern Brewer. Come hang out with us there at BNA 5. It's on Wednesday the 16th, right before NHC. We got new merch in the stores. If you haven't looked lately, we have stickers and T-shirts and books. And there's even a Brewing Network app for when the rest of our audio fails. You can listen on your iPhone. You can go to iTunes and search. No, you got to go to iTunes. iTunes are Nazis. You know, you got to go through that. Did you buy it yet, Doc?
Why would I buy this?
I don't know. You're supposed to.
Do you have another button on my iPhone?
Yeah. Put it next to your wiener button, your porn button.
No, I need the porn button up close to the front.
All right. All these announcements and more can be found if you sign up for Twitter, twitter.com/Brewing Network, or Facebook. Just search the Brewing Network. You'll find our fan page there. You can hang out with other like-minded individuals who also enjoy social networking.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Who wrote that for you?
just thought of that myself. Huh.
Why does your neighbor need safety glasses when he's using a rake?
I don't know. Why is he wearing that tie-dye shirt?
I kind of like that tie-dye shirt.
I know you would.
But still.
Yeah, my neighbor's a weird guy with his yard.
It looks like shit.
Exactly.
And he's out there. He
spends a lot of time on it, and it like never it. Changes.
He looks like he doesn't have a plan nor training.
We should just put the webcam on him today.
You should.
I'll just set it out the window. People can watch this creepy guy. He's a strange bird. Nice enough guy.
Are you going to have a bus cam?
I should have a bus cam. Well, it's mostly going to be me underneath it anyway.
I drove up and he's using his mower and he's just trashing it and I finally quit. I think he broke it.
Oh, he did?
No.
That's why he's using hand tools now.
Did he break it before or after he shattered JP's windshield with the rocks he was throwing?
I didn't want to get over there because he was just running around throwing rocks and stuff and it didn't hit the H2 thing.
He
God.
Spends hours on that yard and it never looks any better.
He's been raking the same 2 foot section for the last 15
That's
minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Am I right, Chad? It never changes.
He's always out there, yeah.
Maybe his wife's a little bitchy and he doesn't want to go inside.
Maybe his backyard's really nice.
Yeah.
But the front, it takes him a little longer.
Right. He's a weird dude. All right, you got announcements, Chad?
I do.
Have some.
All right, let's...
Yes, have some.
Let's do that. Who is bringing you Schatz announcements today? Oh, Schatz announcements are brought to you by White Labs Yeast Company. Go to whitelabs.com. Join their customer club. They like it when you do that. You get to find out all sorts of things about them through their customer club. And I think you win prizes and stuff, too. You could win, like...
Sweatshirts.
And, yep. Vials. All sorts of stuff. So, Schatz announcements brought to you by White Labs.
All right. Well, on the 15th of this month, we have an AHA rally going on at Upland Brewing Company in Indiana. And go out and support the AHA and Upland as well. Also on the 16th, Northern Brewer and Lakefront Brewery are going to be doing an AHA rally. This one's pretty cool. You actually go out, you get a glass, do all this stuff, which you probably do at the other AHA rallies. But they're going to give away free work to the first 250 people that RSVP.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And I've heard good things about Lakefront, so go out, support the AHA, pick up some free work. 17th is the start of American Craft Beer Week. All kinds of stuff going on. Go to AmericanCraftBeerWeek.org. Another AHA rally on the 21st of this month at Allagash up in Portland, Maine. Go out and check those guys out. They brewing some really great beers.
Yeah.
Then we have the AHA National Home Brewers Conference coming up on the 17th. But don't forget about the 16th. That is the anniversary party. Come out. Northern Brewer will be involved big time. And
it's their 17th anniversary, and it's our 5th.
That's right. Wow, 17.
Yeah.
what else is going on here? Oh, Sam Adams Long Shot Competition. I got to get into this. Entries are being accepted between the 17th and 28th of this month. Category 23 only. 4 bottles, no charge.
That's the best part. Free.
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 That's for me. What else is going on? We also have Maui Brewers Festival going on this month. Oregon Homebrew Festival going on this month.
Wow.
AHA Club Only Comp is extract beers. If you guys are brewing some great extract beers, bring them in your club. Let them try them out. Send them on. And we also have a couple homebrew events going on as well. The Greater Everett Brewers League Hop Madness IPA Bracket Challenge.
Oh, Bracket Challenge.
And the 2010 Buzz Off. Oh. Taking place in Pennsylvania. So, you know, go to our website, check out under events, and you can see all the details for all these
Shouldn't
different events.
Shouldn't that be Buzz On?
Yeah, Buzz On.
Buzz On.
And that's all I got.
All right, Chat's Announcements brought to you by White Labs Yeast Company. Been a sponsor for a long time. Make great yeast. Go check them out at whitelabs.com. All right. Feedback before the break? We can do that. Why not, right?
Why not?
We can.
Oh, my God!
You've got mail.
Kick ass. Feedback is brought to you today by the 21st Amendment, craft beer in cans. That's right. Cans. You still got the Monk's Blood? Is that still out on the shelves?
I don't think so. I think he's out in Cold Spring right now doing the Bitter American next.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'd like to see that one in cans. I love that beer.
Coming up.
All right. Let's see. Hey, gang. Here's a little correction from our attenuation show last week, or something that we keep leaving out, I guess. There seems to be one variable you keep leaving out about the discussion of over attenuation of beers. How about looking at the accuracy of your thermometer? Recently, I was having the same issue, and I was looking at my whole process. I was making clean beers, so I know that it was not an infection. What I found was that my thermometer was reading everything 4 degrees warmer. And than what the temps really were. So, in other words, if his beer was reading 150, it was actually 146. It wasn't until I purchased a new thermometer, Blickman's, which is a nice, accurate thermometer that he likes, and tried to mash 4 degrees higher, fixed my over-attenuation problems.
We covered that on the calibration show.
We did?
I'm not just kidding.
No.
it kind of goes without saying. When we say take a temperature reading of your mash,
it should be an accurate one.
We're assuming you're getting an accurate reading.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, I checked it when it was new. Yeah.
Right.
It's good, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I check mine quite a bit, but you need to calibrate it against something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I have a glass thermometer, a lab thermometer that's accurate. And they're usually accurate within 50 or 100 degrees. Above that, they're not so accurate. Below that, they're not so accurate. So you use that to calibrate it, and you got to do that.
Yeah.
Often.
You all should be calibrating on a regular basis.
They don't stay in calibration, but at least most of them will have a little nut on the back that you can recalibrate them.
With the thermometer.
On the thermometer.
Well, like on a Ranco controller where I can't, I'll just write on the face of it, plus one, minus one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Because those go nuts. I looked all over the place to try to recalibrate those, and you can't do it.
I see. So you just have to check what it is and then just keep updating.
Know your adjustment,
Okay. Right. All right. So there you go. That was from Tom. Thanks for the email. Hey, guys. I just want to send a quick thank you. I just advanced 2 of my 3 entries to the second round of the NHC.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great percentage.
He said, it's my first time entering a national competition, and I'm flabbergasted that I made it through. I want to thank the entire BN for the improvements I've seen in my brewing. Keep up the good work and ass hattery, and suck it, JP.
Oh, I'm tired of that, though.
You got to mention.
Jaw hurts.
That was from Bart.
That's my goat's name.
Here's another guy. I found this one interesting. I'm putting this out there for other BNers. I just learned that the NHC will be held in Minneapolis this year.
News.
Don't bust my balls too badly for catching the info late. I've been making my way through the archives, and I don't catch the live show. In addition to that, I live in Saskatchewan, Canada, so NHC is a bit off the radar.
Hey.
So he says, my reason for emailing is that a friend and I would love to make the 16.5-hour drive from our home city to the conference, but we've missed the boat, and the full conference packages are sold out. I don't want to drive that way if I can't get the whole package. So I'm wondering if anyone at the BN knows of someone who needs to part with a couple of passes. If not, do you have any suggestions or ideas of where to look?
I see a lot of people that, when it gets closer to it especially, they got to bow out for one reason or another. Look on the forum. Ask on the forum. There's several forums out there.
Yeah.
Also, on the AHA homebrew
their daily
email thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. Just put it out there that you want
you want to buy them. And there's some people that are thinking they're not going to make it and stuff. So if you do it early enough and often enough, you'll probably get a couple of setups.
Yeah. Well, and definitely the AHA forum, too. It's getting more active now. It's a new forum over there on their new website. Check that out, like Doc is saying. Certainly our forum is going to have tons of people who have tickets that, you know, may not be able to go
or
at the end.
Or maybe they bought two sets. Or, you know, they got bought a set, and maybe their significant other can't go or the brew partner can't go. So,
right.
It's not out of the question that you're not going to get a set of tickets for it.
All right, so that's from Dave. Dave, go to the forums. You should be able to find something. All right, let's see. Hey, Jay, just curious. With your election to the AHA governing board, can you still call out all the beer podcasts for being douchebags that they are?
There are no other beer podcasts.
Or do you now have to play nice? You know, be a uniter, not a divider. P.S. JP's funny, but he still should suck it.
Oh, hey, two mentions. Yeah. Man!
That's from Brian.
I'm full, though.
I don't know. Do I have to be a uniter now that I'm on the... I doubt it.
Nope.
No, that's not part of the job.
I don't think that any of that comes up in the AHA discussions.
Can you be impeached? I don't think so.
Right.
You got a 2-year stint, right?
Yep.
Three. I think three.
Is it?
Could be three.
Oh, you're stuck. They're stuck with you.
Yeah, they don't have any impeachment procedures.
Well, they don't care. They'll let me do whatever I want to do. I guess the question is, now that I'm in an office like that, though, am I supposed to be a nice person? And I think I'm generally nice. I'm just honest. That's all. I don't like to say things. I like things that I don't like.
Were there guidelines given to you somehow, somewhere? I don't think
so. You know, like how to conduct yourself.
There are. There are bylaws. I'm supposed to read them. I have to get to that.
You need somebody naked chick reading them to you.
Then I'll pay attention
then you'll
to those
pay attention,
guidelines.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's probably not going to get done.
See, I like Doc. He learned his learning disabilities early on, and he didn't take them on as disabilities. He just adjusted his study habits.
It's adaptation.
Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, if I can get some naked broads to read me the AHA bylaws, I'll be a goddamn expert on those things.
I'll read them to you naked.
I said naked broads.
No.
Not a broad naked guy.
Not broad-shouldered naked guy.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. I try to be a uniter, but listen, some people, you know, they're not worthy of unification.
Some people need division.
Take Iran, for example. Leave them out there.
Pave them over.
Kidding.
What?
Let's see, Justin, you scrotum-sucking ball guzzler.
Hey, that's you.
That's not very uniting, is it?
Yeah, but it describes you pretty well.
You're uniting two balls in your mouth.
Right. I've just gotten the results from the northeastern region of the NHC, and I entered two specialty ciders, one of which placed second in the qualifying round. Yeah.
Nice.
I'd like to personally thank all of you at the BN, especially Jamil. Without the shows like the Mead Show and both ciders, I did not believe this medal would be possible. I put the Brewing Network down as my club, too. And JP, you rule.
Oh,
that's from Nick in New Jersey.
That's my dad's name.
Ah, it's your dad.
Doubt it.
More about the NHC results.
It's New Jersey. It's not hell.
One listener wrote in, says, I got bored at work or just didn't want to work, whatever, and put a list together of the results so you can see how everyone was doing. And the BN brought it strong, leading all clubs with 50 beers moving on to the second round, with the East and Midwest regions putting through 19 each, the East and the Midwest. What's wrong with your West Coast contingent, he says, only putting 12 through? Well, it's because these fuckers enter under another club. That's the answer to that. Isn't that right, Chad?
Well, you know, I wonder if homebrew clubs are bigger on the West Coast. It seems like people are more proud. Or where we go to the events, you know, their homebrew club, it's a really important thing to them.
It's, well, so and I the wonder, truth is, a lot of people who sign up for the BN don't have a local club.
Right.
You guys have local clubs.
Right. So, and it's really big on the West. So if he's saying, oh, what's going on the West Coast, I think it's, you know, people are really proud.
Yeah.
Not saying they're not back East, but.
Yeah. Well, I really think a big part of it is having a local club around. There's, what, five clubs in the Bay Area to choose from?
Pretty close. So, and if I was someplace where I had to drive 50 miles to hang out with 5 or 10 guys, drink beer, and then drive 50 miles back, semi-hammered, I might not want to do it.
Yeah, it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
So he wanted to give some props, so he said, big props to Dave Beyer for putting 4 through. Nice work.
Oh, nice.
2 gold and 2 silvers. And to my boy Pete, who is Grubbs and Angry Megan, if you guys remember. They put 3 through. Wow. All bronze medals there. One of the 3 was an IPA on Spanish Cedar I was able to get my hands on from Joe down at Cigar City, so big thanks to them, too. All right, let's see.
Spanish Cedar.
What else do I got here? Another one about the results. Hey, Justin, Jameel, Doc, Tasty, JP, Chad, and even Bevo. First round results for NHC are in, and the Northeast region really represented for the BN. I count 15 beers advancing for the BN Army, he says. And somehow two of them are mine. Good job, buddy.
Sweet.
Said it's especially cool because the Northeast region had to close registration early because they filled up at the 750 entries.
Wow.
And this was just his second competition. I got a first place in American Ale for a brown ale I entered under the name Pacheco Sneaker. Yeah. Oh, boy, nice. Do I hope that one wins. Tough category, though. I have to thank Tasty for the recipe that I based the grist on and helping me with dry hopping tips through the forums. So there you go, Tasty. Props to you.
Thanks.
I also got a third place for spice herb vegetable beer for my gingerbread brown. Eagerly awaiting the scores for my other five entries, as I'm proud of all of them. So thanks to all you guys, especially Jameel's book. A large part of my process and knowledge has come from absorbing your archives like a sponge during my commutes. Cheers. Thanks. That's from Sedge. He's a sergeant in the I-95 Highway BN Army Brigade.
Oh.
Yeah.
I-95. Very familiar with that.
Here's one about JP.
Oh, good.
I gotta say, JP is an inspiration for us all. The tenacity which he exhibited in his quest for BJCP certification was nothing short of awesome.
Well, you know.
He is to be congratulated on a job well done. Hoo-ah! As a result of his success, I too have decided to pursue BJCP certification.
Oh, good. Great. Mm.
I know that it will be a long and arduous task, but I'm more than sure that I'm up for the challenge. In fact, I've already started. I now sleep every night with a copy of the BJCP guidelines lying snugly under my pillow. Osmosis.
Ah.
You should have tried that, JP.
Yeah, I would have.
Or reading.
Better.
Every morning, I can sense the overnight transfer of immense knowledge through the osmotic process. Blah, blah, blah. I have, however, decided to forego the actual study of any of the materials. After all, I was never all that good at books.
Well, it's a pamphlet.
While some may think that will put me at a distinct disadvantage, I'm confident in my approach. After all, no matter what I score on the test, I can't do any worse than JP, right?
Actually, you can.
Because, yeah, he passed.
Barely.
He passed.
I, too, will finally be recognized. He says, kudos to JP. And that's from Namako, who's a sergeant in the BN Army Japan.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
Go for it. Try it. Everyone needs to take the test at least once.
Let's see here. Hey, all you no-talent hacks and JP.
Oh.
Longtime podcast listener and creepy stalking you motherfuckers that apparently only likes to watch on TV guy. Last weekend was the World Beer Festival in Raleigh, North Carolina. Is that right?
Raleigh.
Thank you.
Raleigh?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Carolina.
Going down the list of breweries my wife and I could pour, for I saw 2-1-A and let out the gayest little squeak I ever did do. You know, something you hear out of JP on a daily basis.
Oh, that's not nice.
I showed up the day of the festival, prepped with my brainwashed 2-1-A one-liners, and was met by a BN Army member who wanted to make sure Sully was to be well represented. Dressel Brew and I talked for a while, blah, blah, blah. He poured for 2-1-A, I think is the end of this story, right?
It's not a very good story.
2-1-A, I poured beer, we poured a lot of it. He poured a 4 case of watermelon wheat. All went out in 30 minutes.
Wow.
There you go.
Thirsty.
That's Morgan in Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Yeah, that watermelon wheat quenches that, that
great fest beer, yeah.
Especially you know? When it's all hot and humid and sticky in there.
I poured a few of those yesterday for them. So.
Oh, you did? They had you working, huh?
Yeah, I was working primarily for Stone, but...
You were?
On my break, I went to go see what's going on over there, so I helped out a little bit.
Was Sully up there this weekend?
No, no Sully.
Who was pouring? Gabby and stuff?
Lloyd and Zambo, the new brewer, was there too.
Colin was saying that he had their Double Trouble IPA and was really liking it.
Yeah.
Is that Zambo's version of the Double Trouble?
I believe it is.
Right? It is, yep.
Zambo, the new brewer down there.
Someone's got a brew.
I like Zambo's name. You want to look at his license? It's not his real name, right?
I don't know.
We don't know well enough.
Everyone calls him that.
What they call him.
Is that a name in any culture? Like is that a proper name? And
his parents were probably hippies.
Don't know. He's from L.A.
Or circus people.
Is that a proper name in L.A.? I'm pretty sure.
Probably is.
It really could be.
Like they're big hockey fans.
It's just one name. You know?
Hockey fans. Speaking of hockey fans.
We'll call them Zambo.
How about the Sharks, huh?
Did you guys make it?
Yeah.
Third round, baby.
Third round.
Nice.
Good job.
They did a great job.
It's about goddamn time, huh?
Yeah. I have another announcement real quick if you want to hear it.
All right.
Nico Brew had their kid this morning at 3:30, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah. So congratulations to them. A good boy. Job.
Yeah.
Which is good for him.
Way to go.
Yeah. I don't think I could raise a girl. Yeah, so anyway, there you go.
Why would you have to raise his baby if it was a girl?
But you've seen Raising Arizona. Be kind of like that.
Maybe Nathan.
Take it.
Maybe Nathan needs some huggies.
Gotta help out Baby Nathan. That's a good movie. Was that what's his name's last good movie?
Yes.
What's that fucker's name?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, is that Nick Cage's last good movie, Nicolas Raising Cage. Arizona?
Oh, yeah, easily. Well, Face Off. Well, he wasn't in Face Off.
He was, and that
actually,
wasn't good.
Wild at Heart was good, but I don't know if...
All right, I didn't really care.
Well, you didn't like Con Air?
Oh, Con Air. Oh, man. All right. Woo!
Take all this money and these here huggies.
That was a segment, huh?
That was a segment.
I'm going to go have me some 22-point beer from Doc.
Yeah.
Here at this here break.
Only the goods.
And then after this here break, we're going to come back and talk about numbers. Numbers today. Missing your numbers and mathematical
good numbers,
things.
Bad numbers and everything in between.
Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
This month, More Beer wants to introduce you to Ryan Bartow, head of customer service at More Beer.
Working at More Beer means a lot to me. There's nothing better than being there where everything comes right in. It's a pretty fun job.
Here are Ryan's top five More Beer innovations he can't brew without.
Yeast starters. I like to use a 5,000 milliliter flask. Of course, you can't do anything without Star Sand. Pro Mash combined with a refractometer are always there on brew day. And then, of course, the inline thermometer. It's a new product we're releasing this month.
All of Ryan's favorites are on sale this month only. Check out Ryan's picks right now at morebeer.com.
Boy, my wish for the people that trust me is just that they make great beer as a result. I'd love to see everybody making good beer that finishes out. Fermentation is what it really all comes down to.
Hurry to morebeer.com for the best innovations and people in home brewing. Morebeer.com.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 10 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer at Brew Free or Die IPA in the Northeast, Northwest, parts of the Midwest, and Alaska in cans and on draft. So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Writing a review of WLP 400.
What? You're reviewing yeast?
Yeah. White Labs has home brewer reviews of all their strains. Are you new to these interwebs? Check it out.
That's awesome.
White Labs, your source for great yeast, invites all brewers to visit whitelabs.com to read and write your own reviews of all their yeast strains. Get real-world tips and tricks from other brewers who have made the most of their vials and post your own experiences. It's another way White Labs brings you closer to the best yeast on the planet.
And send. There you go. You misspelled flocculate, dude.
What?
White Labs. It's all in the vial.
What's up, BN Army? Jake and Mike here from Brewing TV.
Brewing TV is homebrew culture in video. Asking the big questions. Who and why? We leave the how to the tubby know-it-alls.
Check us out at brewingtv.com.
The first webisode drops May 7th.
Like Crosley's pants in a Louisiana jail cell.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
sick. Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
The Brewing Network, saving your life
one beer at a time.
So did you guys see the new Brewing TV video? That episode? Their first episode
yeah,
posted
I watched it this afternoon before it came over.
What a piece of shit, huh? Another shitty... No, I'm kidding. It was actually really great.
Pretty good.
People just expect me to not like every other... I really liked it. We're a sponsor, too, but I wouldn't be a sponsor if I didn't think it was good. Jake and... what's that other dickhead's name? Dawson. That's his name.
Dickhead Dawson.
Dickhead Dawson. Oh, that you can have that, Dawson. I just gave that to you. That's great. It's a really good video. They have good personalities on there and pretty funny dudes. That Dawson guy actually cracks me up.
Adam sent me that.
Did you check it out?
I just got my new computer up and it doesn't have speakers yet, so I couldn't.
It's real good. It's real laid back, so it doesn't have too serious a feel. You know, that kind of bothers me when people take this thing too seriously. It doesn't have any of that. They don't seem to be doing, like, you know, real, like, brewing instruction. They're just kind of hanging out and showing you what other brewers are doing. So the first episode's pretty cool because they go to some guy's brew day, and then Jake shows you his extract batch he's brewing in his kitchen just because he kind of ran out of time. He had to pick up the kids later, so he just did a quick extract batch. And
yeah, they visited Fulton Brewing, the garage brewery.
Yeah, that's right. That's
which is
was.
Really interesting because it's pretty cool what they're doing there.
So check it out. If you haven't seen it yet, it's over at brewingtv.com, and the first episode dropped. I guess they're going to try to put them out every week. Putting out every week is a good thing. It's tough to do.
Yeah.
You know. Right, JP?
I agree. I liked it. I thought it was good. What?
You watched it, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't watch the video? Oh, you didn't?
No.
Didn't you send me the thing? You sent me a link, too. Like, hey, have you seen this yet?
You're not supposed to. What I was saying was I haven't seen it yet, and you're supposed to cover me by not seeing it because they're sponsors. We're sponsors. They're sponsors.
We're sponsors. They owe us.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Except
I'm very
that you
lost and confused.
JP's like that with news and everything. He just reads the headline and sends it to me like, oh, check this out. It's great. Yeah, did you watch it? No.
No. What am I going to do, watch it? I count on you to give me the thing.
It's it's good, though. Go check out Brewing TV. And did you watch it yet, Chad?
I have not.
Yeah, check it out.
No.
It's good stuff. I hope they can put out an episode every week because it's really, in all seriousness, it gets tough. Video editing and all that kind of stuff. Audio editing is tough enough.
Putting out.
Yeah. So, good luck. All right, today's topic, we're going to be talking about some brewing numbers, and Tasty's going to explain you know, why you would or would not care about brewing numbers, and then a little bit later, Doc's going to help us, everyone's going to help, with some troubleshooting of what happens when you miss your numbers, because we've all had that happen, some of us more regularly than others. So Tasty, you know, what kind of numbers are we talking about here when I say brewing numbers, and why are they important?
Well, you know, the numbers are really just another way of stating, you know, controlling the brewing process to know, you know, what's happening when and why it's happening and to somehow at some point achieve brewing consistency. Because, you know, the commercial beers that we've become to know and love, I mean, that's their bread and butter is the consistency. You know, home brewers, you know, it depends what you're trying to do. That may or may not be a high priority, you know, for you. If you don't mind making the same pale ale, you know, every time, then I guess you can just go ahead and just throw the ingredients in. If you hit a reasonable strike temperature, that's the one you would go with. But, you know, today we're going to talk about, you know, why it's important to get those numbers and you know, hopefully how to get them.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm a big stickler about getting these numbers because it allows me to adjust recipes and move them in the direction that I want. If I didn't have a consistency in the process, i.e., you know, strike temperatures and you know, efficiency percents and things like that, I wouldn't be able to adjust the recipe and get a result because I'd be, you know, have a variable process and a constant and I'm tweaking a recipe, I'm just going to get a, you know, wildly different result.
An unpredictable
result.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah.
Right, so.
Yeah.
That's why I do it. Now, again, I'm also lying for listeners that, you know, like, don't really care about this. I don't want to make their whole brew day a nightmare by, you know, have them taking 10,000 hydrometer readings and taking all the fun out of brewing. Please, if you don't really want to get control of your brewing process and just want to have fun making beer, please, we're not speaking to you.
Yeah, just. But if you don't, don't ask us why.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't say,
why
well,
didn't this come out? Why didn't?
Yeah, sometimes my beer is thin, sometimes it's thick. What can I do about it? Well, you know.
What are your numbers?
Got to know what you're doing.
Got to know what you're doing, I think.
Well, when I was, you know, when I started and I was extract brewing, and then even some mini mash brewing, I have a lot. I had a lot less numbers to deal with than we're dealing with now with all grain too. I wanted the steep at 170 degrees or something like that, right. And then I had my OG and my FG, and that was it.
Right.
It's pretty much the only three numbers I dealt with.
Those are important.
I wanted to know what they were.
Right.
And that was fine for me extract brewing. Right. I didn't have mash temperatures to deal with.
You didn't
with,
have control of a whole lot. So yeah. Not the best you could do.
Okay.
So you know, like. The timing of this is pretty relevant because I think in the last few weeks, you know, hundreds of us have gotten the score sheets back with, you know, results that maybe were less than spectacular. And then those results could be comments like, well, do this differently, or you might have, you may have done, may not have done that correctly. Well, you know, you got to know, if you know your process, you can see, you know, oh, really, maybe I can adjust my process a little bit in that area. Or you can also say, well, that judge doesn't know what he's talking about. But, I mean, the saying is, if you have control over it, then you can change it. If it's just one big variable, you know, up and down kind of thing, there's no place to you know, apply an adjustment.
Okay. So what are the most important numbers to you? Without, you know, describing everything, just go down the list of what's most important to you on a brew day so you can be consistent.
Well, the important thing to me is to hit the initial gravity of the beer. If I want to make a 1056 beer, I'm going to come up with a recipe that's well-suited for 1056. It's going to have the right hops. It's going to have the, you know, the water is going to be, you know, in an area for that sort of beer. And so I don't want to, you know, at the end of the boil to find out that I've actually made a 1060 beer and I've only, you know, have hops for 1056. My beer is going to be a little too sweet for what I was trying to do. So, you know, my goal in life is to get the numbers, and so I can basically drive the beer where I want it to go rather than just, you know, hope and wish that it would come out the way I want.
Okay. So are mash numbers part of this for you?
Well, sure. That's certainly a process. You know, okay. Important number. If you're, you know, if you're going to get the this is maybe not as much to do with the initial gravity, but you know, somewhat. Obviously, you're going to have a different extract efficiency if you don't do, you know, a reasonable mash. But the total fermentable sugar is going to be pretty much the same whether you hit your mash temperature or not, because you're just going to get a different ratio of fermentable and non-fermentable sugars, pretty much.
Okay.
So it's really when you talk about the mash temperature, you're really talking more about the finished beer. That is, the day you go to pop the first bottle, is it going to be thin or thick? You know, well, it depends on whether you hit your mash temperature or not.
I see. So it's less involved in, say, your starting gravity
than it is with your, but less so.
Okay.
You could mash it 140 and have a 1060 beer. You could mash it 156 and have a 1060 beer.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but it's what comes out down the road.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense to me. Okay. So, but you still, it's another number, though. Now, if we're not talking about,
You're putting it in stone. Yeah, you got to get. Yeah, it's a really important number because everything you're going to do for the next, you know, 4 hours. I'm talking about all grain, and everything you're going to hope for in the next 2 weeks is all based on you getting that number correct. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what about in terms? I want to talk a little bit more about volumes too, because so we're going to talk about troubleshooting with Doc a little bit later. But you mentioned, you know, if you don't hit that 1060 that you're targeting,
right,
and you have to, let's say it's too high and you have to add water, mm-hmm, right, which we'll talk about later. But you didn't hop for that, so now you're going to have a beer that you've diluted with water. You hopped for this 1060 right, volume, and now you're adding water to it. So things really do get changed if you have to make these corrections, right?
Well, you change the hops. I mean, you really do make corrections. It's not unreasonable for me, for instance, to, if I get a pre-boil gravity that indicates, you know, my beer is going to go in a direction, I'll just, you know, go with the flow, or I'll, you know, whatever.
Change it then.
I don't get this one too often. Usually I go, I'm under. But if I'm over, I will add water, you know.
Yeah.
That exceeds my pre-boil volume. Like, and
right.
Then I'll just take run some and throw it away.
I get
it back down to my pre-boil volume.
I end up the other way. I usually end up over.
Over, yeah.
I'll, you know, my pre-boil volume is right at my OG.
Yeah.
I know that by the time I'm done boiling, it's going to be way above.
Right.
And sometimes my boil kettle's right to the top. So I'll add as it goes.
As it goes, yeah. keep it down.
Keep it at
that volume, okay. The volume and the gravity.
But in an ideal world, you're able to set your grist, and you know you've built the recipe, and you're, you know, when you start the boil, your pre-boil gravity is exactly what you want it to be, isn't it? You calculate it to be in that
yeah, way. Yeah, generally that's what happens in my beers, but only because I've, you know, taken command of the process.
And you know that system so well.
Yeah. Now.
Okay. Right. All right. And Shad, are you at a point now where you're doing the same thing? And I say this, and I don't want to get into troubleshooting yet, but I say this because when I brew on the same system as you, mm-hmm. my that pre-boil gravity for me is an elusive and dangerous animal. It is, and it's all over the map for me. So I'm either adding, I'm generally adding water. Also, I'm generally over you are. Yeah. Anyhow, have you been able to dial in so that you're able to create your recipe, mm-hmm. and you use your brewing software like Beersmith, mm-hmm. and hit your pre-boil gravity?
I'm pretty much to a point where I start at an initial gravity, a pre-boil gravity that's always 10 points. Higher or lower than where I want to end up. So for 60 minutes when I add my hops, I know I'm going to pick up 10 points. So yeah.
I'm so dialed. You're able to
yeah.
do
that. So if I hit that number, I know I'm going to go up 10 by that 60 minute boil.
Yeah, your volume's reducing, so things are getting more concentrated, so your OG starts creeping up.
Okay.
And even by, you know, watching the boil and all those things, I mean, you can really affect it too. But
yeah,
just getting to that pre-boil gravity, yeah, I know where my number's going to be and basically what my boil's going to be, and I'll get that number.
Now, how about you, JP? Because you've been brewing on your system for a while, but you brew less than these guys. So
I do.
Are you? Is this something that you struggle with too? Being able to hit these pre-boil numbers, or?
Yeah. Oh. It is.
Okay.
Sometimes.
All right. So you're not always right on the dot. You know, if you're looking for that.
I'm not, and I don't know why. And to be honest, I don't really care why.
Okay.
Because it ends up coming. If I have to add a little DME or whatever, I don't really care too much about it.
Okay.
Because for me, it's relaxing to brew.
Right.
And I stress out easily enough as it is with my life that I don't need to sit there and go, I don't understand. I think part of it is my system's on a slope a little bit in my garage.
Okay.
So I think I'm not getting enough draw from the back of the kettle.
I see.
The mash tun. So the water's kind of channeling.
So you feel like you're leaving some sugar behind.
I very much so am, because by the end of the mash, I'll pull the pin, because it's the tippy dump. That's trademarked, by the way. And tip the mash tun forward, and the water will come from light brown just to dark. And it's like, well, because all the wort is left in the corner.
Right.
So, you know, because I'm on a slope, the water is taking the path of least resistance. It's kind of just gravitating towards the spigot and not really getting in that corner of the mash tun.
Okay.
Pull a pin, tip it the other way, and put the pin back, and it'll be at the good angle.
I do. Oh. I mess with it, and I hit it most of the time. Yesterday, I hit it just fine.
I hit that shit. So you're a good example, JP, and so am I, of the kind of brewer who, you want the numbers within a range, because yes. you certainly want the beer to turn out, you know, the style of beer you were trying to make.
Yes.
But you don't care if it's not identical to the last porter that you brewed, for example.
I care enough to notice and to think about it and go, oh, and then I just don't stress out about
then
it.
Then you just leave it be after that.
Because I'm a process brewer. I know my process and I'm fine with it, and the beer is drinkable enough for me.
Okay.
And that's really what I'm after as a home brewer. I don't need to really dial it in or obsess over one particular thing and move on to the next. And home brewing is great because you can do that.
Okay.
I still don't even make starters.
Okay. You just throw in a couple vials,
like
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like four.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Into a how many gallon batch are you throwing 10. Your four vials into? A 10-gallon batch. It's a lot of yeast.
Yeah. It's okay. Free. What do I care? I'll do 10.
I steal it. What do I care?
Yeah. Shops closed late at night. I get the key, open that shit up.
Now, there's some quick math you can do. You get your pre-boil volume, get your pre-boil OG.
Okay.
And you can easily, and you know how much you're going to boil off or what you got to boil down to.
Right.
There's some quick, easy math you can do to know that you're going to hit your final after boil OG.
Is this where we refer to how to brew?
Yes.
Because the math is just right there.
It's right
there.
Exactly.
It's simple math. We've done these equations on the air before, and it just doesn't work out. Just open up how to brew. And you're right. It's a simple equation that even I figured out.
It's pretty much fifth grade math.
Yeah.
It's pretty
or you can use something like Beersmith.
It's also in Ray Daniels' book, Designing great beers. It's in there too.
Okay.
And you bring up a good point of, as far as the volume too. Pre-boil volume. You know, getting that right is really important.
Yes. You can over-sparge and come out with way too much or way.
What I do is always collect a pre-boil volume before I take any gravity readings whatsoever, because, you know, I have two goals. I want to make this beer at this gravity. I want to make this much beer at this gravity too. So yes. I'm going for them both. So I might as well get the pre-boil volume. Because if I don't, I'm not going to get the post-boil volume.
And I use a measuring stick that I've made that's calibrated in my kettle.
Yeah.
I just put the stick down and how many lines that is, and that's how many gallons it is. And I know exactly what it's quick, it's dirty, it's down. And then I take a quick hydrometer reading, or actually a refractometer reading, and then I know those numbers.
Okay.
And it just opens up the window where I'm going to.
Got a chance that's to a hit
good
your
point.
Number.
I found, so on our More Beer 1550, my measuring stick for volume, and I know this is going to sound just half-assed like most of my stuff, but I found it to be the most accurate for me. I fill that kettle as much as I possibly can and still have a boil, and every time I do that, my numbers tend to be closer. I'm transferring the right volume. It's almost perfect, I guess is what I'm saying, is that without even having to measure, if I can get a boil going without boiling over, my volume's perfect on our system.
Exactly.
But this is just knowing the system. You know, whereas in Doc's case, not only does he know his system, but he has a measuring stick for his system. So
it's knowing that you have an 18-gallon kettle and you really should have a 20.
Yeah. We probably should have a 20.
One thing, when I said I hit my numbers, it's not without, some effort sometimes. I brew outside, right? So, outside, the ambient's going to be different. The wind's going to be different. So when I hit my pre-boil numbers, volume and gravity, I still got somewhat of a challenge sometimes to get, to get the boil off that I'm looking for, consistent from batch to batch. So I have to.
Right.
So I'll take a pre-boil at 90 minutes, and then at 60, I'll take another one. And then I figure, okay, based on the variables that I got going today, ambient, wind, daytime, nighttime, that makes a difference. The level of the propane in my tank makes a difference. If I got a big full tank, got a lot more propane pressure, have a much bigger boil.
Wow, good point.
So that second at 60 lets me project, whether it's going to be a normal type of a boil or not, then I can, deal with it a little bit. Sometimes I'll, because at 60, of course, I add my first hops. That's where I have a chance to extend the pre-boil. Instead of doing a 90, I'll do 100. If I'm still, my gravity's going to be a little high at the end,
right,
I can make an adjustment there. I can even, if I, have some sense, I could go the other way. I could take some gravity readings, during that 30 minutes where I'm getting to the 60-minute hop.
Okay.
I've done things, I might kind of mention on the show before, where if I'm and I'll take another reading at 10 minutes to see.
Did it all work out?
Is this going to work out?
Yeah.
By then I know exactly what I'm going to get in the next 10. And then if I think I want a ball longer, I'll just take, because I use Hopsex, I'll grab the 60-minute hops, just take them out.
I see.
And then 10 minutes, I'll put them back in with the 10-minute hops.
Got it.
And then
that's a good point, because then you're not adding on to the boil time of that bittering hop.
Exactly. I'm just making it the same.
That's a good case for using sacks, to be able to just pull them right out of there.
Yeah,
it really is. Now, what are you using for these gravity measurements as the boil goes?
Well, I was using a refractometer, but I kind of got away from it. I replaced it with an electronic one, which I still don't trust yet, right? So I've been doing actual hydrometer readings, which...
Now, how do you do that? Because it's boiling.
Well, I just take a metal, stainless steel, little small stainless steel pot. It's actually a dog dish. I don't use it for the dog.
Right. But,
Well, maybe I do. I should be careful with that. So I take enough that'll fill a hydrometer jar, put that in a little bath of, not ice, but ice packs, so I can use them over again.
All right.
That chills down in about 2 minutes. Of course, I'm making a note of what time I took it out, because I want to know what it was, 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I just put it in my hydrometer and read it. And I watched them now putting it in my electronic one and comparing the two. I'm sort of...
To try to dial it
right.
in.
Right. I'm getting more confidence in it. But sometimes it acts weird. I got to figure out what I might be doing to make it not be consistent.
Because I'm using a refractometer all the time.
Yeah.
But I get worried. I worry about the heat. I know that they say that they adjust for that.
Yeah.
But I've heard that it's tough, that they're not real accurate at adjusting for that kind of heat.
Yeah, I take a reading. I take a little sample. I put it on the hydrometer. I leave it open.
Yeah.
And not the hydrometer,
the refract.
Refractometer. And I put it on the glass. It's just a thin layer, and I blow across it till I think it's pretty cool. And it's not that much liquid that it doesn't take
very long to cool down, and then I'll read it. But just don't be dipping the refractometer in there.
No, right. You're going to mess up the ATC in there.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
That's why I have another one.
Oh, we've gone through, what, five?
Oh, yeah.
A few refractometers.
I gave you one, too.
Well, there's a couple quick tips, now that since we're on it. So dipping it in the boil kettle, not a good idea. And doing the snap where you're flinging the plastic lid closed, don't do that.
Yeah.
I know it's easy to do, but don't do it, because that thing shatters also, both the plastic and the...
And get the bubbles out of it. Don't let it be frothy, and no chunks.
Okay, so nice, smooth, and... Okay. I take my spoon.
Just take the spoon and... Yeah.
Pour it onto it, you know, dip it in the kettle, pour it onto it, and then, like you say, Doc, I will leave it out for a minute to kind of cool off.
It'll go up.
All right. And what do you use, JP, to measure? Are you using refractometer also?
Refractometer, yeah.
You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I just found it the easiest way, although I do think, like Tasty's saying, I do find the hydrometer to be more accurate, just more of a pain in the ass to use with hot work.
And if you're using, if you're making 5 gallons, every time you take a hydrometer reading, it's going to be a big hunk of beer out of there.
Mm.
Depending on how much you've got to use in there.
Listen to Doc, frugal like me with that beer.
Well, I know I'm gonna hear people, but I don't want to waste that much beer every time I'm taking a hydrometer reading. And
yeah.
I've already wasted the beer. I've already bought extra grain to make 12 gallons for a 10 gallon batch. You got
a couple gallons.
I'll just have to take
a
little bit more out of the fermenter when I rack out, just to make up for those hydrometers.
Right. Okay. All right, what other numbers are important to us? Because we've really been discussing gravity. And,
are we just talking about wort? We're going to be talking about IBU numbers, which we alluded to it before when you brought up volume.
Right.
If you got to dilute it and you got to get, you want a 1060 beer and you 1058.
Right. Opposite.
Or the other way around, you got to dilute it.
Then you're too bitter.
You're not bitter. Well, either way, but. Let's say we wanted a 1055 beer and we got a 1060 beer.
Okay.
We got to dilute it.
So go ahead and dilute it.
Cool. Now I got my 1055 beer, and you throw the same amount of hops in there, you're not going to have the same IPA.
Yeah, you're making an extra gallon of beer now or something like that.
So you got to take that into consideration, too, what your finished beer is going to be, how many gallons, and then how much of the hops. Even if you leave a bunch in the kettle. Your fermenter is only going to take so much, and then you got to leave some in the kettle. I'm trying to hit the numbers. I don't care if I leave some in the kettle. If I fill the fermenter as full as I can get them.
Okay.
Yeah, if I have to add water, I just add water, and then I just take that much off. And I add water to get to the pre-boil gravity I want. And of course, if my volume's too big, I just run and throw some of that away.
Yeah.
Get back to my pre-boil volume.
But you got to
leave the hops the same.
Yeah, and you're going to change things.
Okay.
A little bit.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, to calculate IBUs, you guys are all using brewing software, right? Because this is a more complex equation, and it really doesn't make sense not to use software, in my opinion.
Just think about it. If the recipe says half an ounce of hops in 6 gallons, that doesn't mean half an ounce of hops in 6.5 gallons.
Right.
So you got to know the volume numbers as well as the IBU numbers. So just compensate a little bit. Just don't expect it to be the same beer if you don't compensate.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, fermentation temperature is another number, and it's probably better discussed in our fermentation shows. But it's something just to pay attention to. And I think that everyone could agree that whether you're interested in numbers or really being consistent with your beer or not, the temperature of your fermentation is probably the most important number that you're going to face to have good beer, whether it's going to be consistent or not. Yep. So you really all should be monitoring and adjusting the temperature of your fermentation. And we've gone on ad nauseum about that on our shows. So, and then, of course, you end up with your final gravities, right? Which we did talk about attenuation last week. You can tune into that one if you want to hear about getting proper attenuation. And different techniques to do so. And when we get into the troubleshooting, then Doc will talk to us a bit about what we can do if we screwed that up, which would be an example. We wanted to get down to 1010 and we ended up at 1020.
Yeah, something like that.
so, which is a big difference.
That you can almost live with, but you end up at 1028, something like that.
Okay.
Some troubleshooting stuff for that. But when you're down at 10, 5, 6, 7 points high, it's more recognizing what it was and fixing it on the next beer. There's no use in making a pitch and throwing it in there and expecting to get down at that. It's probably not going to happen, and we'll discuss that quite a bit.
And going the other way, too. I mean, over-attenuating. You know, I've had that issue.
Yeah.
From time to time.
But it's most of the complaints I see out there are under.
Yeah.
It's finished too sweet. Why did it happen? It always happens to me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different reasons. I got a lot of things to discuss about that later.
Okay, great. We're going to go to break. Before we do, a quick question came through from Doc. Tom from Raleigh. What is Doc's measuring stick made of, and how do you mark it?
I used a copper pipe, half-inch copper pipe. I plugged both ends with the end cap. I used a pipe cutter, yeah, the wheel on it.
Yeah.
And I put a gallon in the kettle. Put it down there wherever it was wet, and then I used the pipe cutter to score a line on it.
Okay.
Then I did that all the way up, every gallon there, and then on the 5-gallon. And what I ended up doing was I used some enamel paint, and I painted the line white for every gallon, red for every 5, and then white, red all the way up.
Okay. What he was really wondering about is what will stick around in the heat and the acid
It's a half inch copper pipe.
Okay.
Straight copper pipe.
And that paint has stuck around.
Oh, huh? Yeah.
I don't leave it in
there to boil, but yeah, it goes in there.
I'm not drinking any lead in this beer you gave me here.
I don't think so. But no,
but you didn't say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's only a small line on there, and it's easy to see.
Right.
And I count as I'm putting it in there. I'll go 5, 10, 15, 20, 21, 2, 3, and it comes right back out again.
Okay.
And a lot of times, whatever's dripping off the end of that goes onto my refractometer, and then I throw it in the sink, and then I let that cool, and I take a reading.
Got it.
What about heat expansion in your kettle? Do you take that in consideration, a 4% jump?
Not really.
Is that anything we have to worry about, would you say? Would you take your measurement with cold water? I mean, you can't when you're sparging, but... Okay, there's really no difference. We should be.
I try not to measure things, put things back in on the cold side.
Okay,
I don't. If it's still boiling, I don't really care about it. But I'm not gonna. I don't care so much about that. I can tell where it's gonna be.
And isn't it that if we're consistent, then it doesn't matter? So in other words, every measurement is going to be 4% off or whatever the heat expansion is, Chad. So
it's always a little
I've just
there.
Always been told, when we've done these shows, I've had a lot of people write in and say, you know what, man, you're really worried about all this stuff. As long as you're doing it, you're using the same measurement every time, mm-hmm. then you're probably okay.
If you want 12 gallons of hot water at the end, then you can, you know, measure 17 and a half of 12. Hot 12 gallons to pre-boil gravity.
So right.
As long as you're using it the same, yeah.
So as long as I'm not using my measuring stick in Doc's kettle, it's going to be fine.
Exactly. Even if it's the same kettle, almost, you know, the same. You really need to calibrate it yourself.
Yeah.
Also be a little bit, I use an immersion chiller, too. And if you put the immersion chiller in there, the volume's going to go up. It's the height of the volume. So take that in consideration, too.
Don't you use an immersion chiller and 2 counterflow chillers after that?
Yeah.
Because he can.
I want to get it from...
How cold is it when it gets to the...
50.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. And an ice bath, too, right?
It's 20, usually about 23 gallons, 24 gallons.
Right.
Yeah, it goes pretty quick. But I want to get it... I want it to be whirlpooling.
Yeah.
And I want it to be chilled down from boiling down to below 140, 130,
okay.
Quick.
Right.
And once it's down to there, then I run it through the counterflows and right into the fermenters. Because I don't like the way the conicals cool the wort down.
Why? Is it too slow for you?
It's too slow for me. I want it to go in there pretty close.
You want to cool in. Yeah.
I want it to be in there as cool as I can.
Wait.
Yeah.
Now... How far down did you... Didn't you just do an ice bath with your plate chiller this last time, last couple times you brewed, Chad?
Mm-hmm.
And how cold were you able to transfer it to our more beer conicals?
Well, I basically wasn't trying to get it to a... I was trying to get it to a certain temp, like 65.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really shooting for 50. I probably could have got it down to 50.
Okay.
But it was quick. It was like a quick transfer at 65.
It's nice. Easy to get it down to
like that.
75. Real easy to get down to 70. Down to 65 is pretty easy. Getting down to 50 is tough. Especially when I've got... 22 gallons, not 5 gallons.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about speed. Yeah.
I'm trying. Yeah, I'm tired by the end of that time, Rudy. I want to get it in there.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've got. I usually got to switch from one conical to the other, so I've got to sit there and watch it. Otherwise, it'll too much in one and not enough in the other.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just makes too much beer.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start talking about troubleshooting some of these numbers when you miss your gravities and your fermentation and all that. So hang in there. It's the session. Talking numbers. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BN Army in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
Do you support the Brewing Network? Do you brew your own? Are you looking for an economical, fun, and legal way to do both? Subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine and do just that. All year long, Brew Your Own will surprise you, entertain you, and educate you with articles on beer and brewing from authors like the Brewing Network's very own Jamel Zalishev and John Palmer. Each issue is a full pint of brewing techniques, homebrew stories, tips and photos, projects to make yourself, and recipes for the avid home brewer. Get your tough questions answered by Mr. Wizard, and polish your style accuracy with Jamel. A portion of every subscription goes to the Brewing Network, so subscribe today at byo.com/brewingnetwork or just click the BYO logo on the Brewing Network homepage and support a fantastic hobby and your favorite broadcaster. Brew Your Own, the how-to homebrew beer magazine.
And now, Northern Brewer brings you another installment of The Time Brewers! Three brewers, three different eras, all caught in the same fermento chronological vortex, traveling through time, righting brewing wrongs, and bringing beery wisdom to where and whenever it may be needed. Journey now with Dr. Jean de Klerk.
Greetings, listeners.
20th century Belgian super brewing scientist.
Please, please, the yeast and the enzymes do the hard work. I am merely a facilitator.
Icebox.
What?
21st century Norwegian-American homebrewer rapper from St. Paul.
Listen, I bust attenuation maxims and my Yakima magnums make my lager so smooth it's like a laxative. My spit got that static power after I mash for an hour. I got naked ladies in my brew room all covered in hot flowers. I swing a propagation flask like a 5-liter dick. Get your nasty mid-drinking group on ass back to 1026, boo!
And Brother Abelard.
Up there with witch. Begone!
12th century English monk and perpetuator of brewing superstition.
My holy rod of divine bobbling shall maketh any ale to froth by the grace of heaven. And a modicum of bog myrtle hurts not either.
Brought to you by Northern Brewer, your one-stop homebrew supplier throughout the entire fermento chronosphere. The widest selection of quality malt, hops, yeast, and equipment with $7.99 flat rate shipping. Tune in next time for more
Time Brewers!
Ewa, what's it feel like?
Take awesome and multiply it by two.
Yeah!
Spraying live beer radio all over your face.
Can't get any better than this, baby.
It's the Brewing Network.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio
ladies. Welcome back to the program. Talking about brewing numbers and about to get into our troubleshooting segment here so we can wrap up the topic. And, you know, this is the meat and potatoes here when you get into your brew day and stuff goes wrong. What do we do, right? So where do you want to start, DOC?
Ask me some questions like, why this happened to my beer and blah, blah, blah.
All right, so one of the biggest problems is hitting this pre-boil gravity. All right, a lot of people seem to be having trouble, and by a lot of people, I mean me. Pre-boil gravity, like I said, is a difficult thing for me to hit because I punch in all the numbers into my beersmith, and I seem to have my grist right, I seem to have everything right, but invariably, I am overshooting my pre-boil gravity.
Okay, go into your brewing, if you're using software,
yeah,
you're consistently doing that, just go change a number in there, and that's your efficiency.
Okay.
If you're at 70% efficiency, crank it up to 75 and see what happens. But I'll bet that'll adjust your brewing.
Okay.
If you're doing everything else right, that's the easiest way to do it, because that's, you're adjusting it for your system.
Okay.
That's why you can play with that number.
Got it.
If you're already at 75 or 80, and you're still overshooting, shoot it, put it up at 83, 84, and see what happens.
Okay.
It's not so much the number, but it's whatever works for your system. And you want that pre-boil volume, and you want the pre-boil gravity. And the next number you got to really know is how much you're going to boil off in your hour or your hour and a half or whatever you're going to do. If you're going to boil off a gallon or a gallon and a half, you need to know that.
Okay.
And that can be adjusted usually in the system too. If you're not using any of that, you need to know that number.
Okay.
And that's where the easy math comes in. If you know that in an hour you're going to boil off a gallon, you're going to have a gallon less. And then so you take your pre-boil volume, you pre-boil OG, and you divide it by whatever other number you want. You want to know what the gallons are going to be at your selected OG, finishing gravity, or your post boil gravity.
Yeah,
then you can use all those numbers, and I'm not going to get into them because
they're all in How to Brew.
It's How to Brew. It's in Daniel's. All that kind of stuff.
Okay. And the brewing software has a variable you can set.
Yeah, but
what is your boil off rate?
Because if you're using software, you need to go and do that. If you're not using software, then just do the simple math.
Right.
Okay.
So you don't need to have one.
Or you could measure it. I mean, you just say, okay, I started with this volume when I made my batch. When I was done, I had this volume. You can calculate what your boil off rate is.
So volume 1 times gravity 1 equals volume 2 times gravity 2.
Right.
One of them's going to be in the left hand, right hand of the equation is going to be an X.
Okay.
Okay, divide by the other one, and you'll be fine.
What part of the equation says ask Chad? That's because every equation I seem to work with, it says ask Chad.
Ask Chad.
Yeah.
You're doing algebra at that point with numbers and shit.
Yeah,
right.
It's just algebra.
Because when I get there, I just go, oh, hey, Chad.
Are you smarter than a fifth grade Chad?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good BN t-shirt. Okay. Now, what if I adjust those numbers in my software? And let's assume I have it dialed in. I've got it dialed in. Well, I still overshoot.
Are you consistent on how much you overshoot?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I think so. Actually, I think I am fairly consistent on how much I overshoot.
Are you always 5 points over?
Yeah.
Well, relative to the gravity size. I mean, if it could be 10 points over on a big beer and two points over on a small beer, but same problem. Yeah.
Okay.
On your average pale ale-ish.
Then I know to adjust the efficiency.
Just adjust the efficiency. That's the first place to go.
Okay.
Because it's your system doing it to you, not you.
Okay.
It's probably not your process. If you're consistent, always on, always over, then it's not your process. It's your system. And you just haven't dialed your system in, knowing that your system's more efficient than that recipe you got. Most recipes are calibrated to be about 70%, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if your system's a real good system and your grist is ground finer maybe or whatever, but it's consistent, you're gonna end up with the same numbers all the time.
Okay.
So
what if I got all that right and I still overshoot? What are the things I can do if I've overshot my pre-boil gravity? So now I know that my post-boil gravity is going to be way too high. What do I do?
Okay, so let's say your pre-boil gravity is way too high, and you got plenty of room in your kettle. dump water in. Keep dumping water in until you get to your, the pre-boil volume that you were supposed to have in the first place.
Okay.
Then
this is pre-hopping, too, yes. Isn't it? This is before I've touched any hops.
This is before you touched any hops. Now you've just dumped it up, and now you're at the number of pre-boil that you need.
Okay. So simple enough that way.
It's pretty simple enough. But now you got... You gotta have a bigger volume because you gotta still boil off a gallon and a half, but you just put another gallon and a half in there. So you gotta have a gallon and a half more of beer.
Yeah.
So you gotta have a more dilute beer. The numbers are gonna be the same, but your hops, you put the hops in, you're gonna need to adjust up the hops or more hop time in there so you can get more efficiency out of the hops. It's mostly the bittering hops.
Okay. All right. All right. So I can add some water. Adjust accordingly.
Yeah, just add water. If you don't have any water, if you don't have enough room in your boil kettle, like you and I like to do, it's to the top.
Yeah.
You boil some off, you add some in. You boil some off, you add some in. So until you get and just keep, you have to keep taking readings at that point.
Got it. It makes for a long brew day.
Yes, it does. Yeah. A little stressful.
Yeah, but you get your number right that way.
Get your number right.
Get your number right.
All right. I like to get my number right.
Yeah.
That's your number, baby.
All right. What if I'm low? What if my pre-boil is supposed to be 1050 and it's actually 1040?
Okay. Then you start doing the math again. Then you got to decide how much do you have to boil off or boil down to get that number.
Okay.
That's one way of doing it. The other one is you can add in fermentables. That's where you keep that spare pound of extract around.
Like a dry malt extract or liquid, right? Wouldn't matter.
Either or sugar if you have to do it that way, depending on the beer.
You're getting into another option, which would be to change the recipe and make a different beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm making a mild
now.
You're
making a Belgian pale now or something instead of a, a quad or something.
Okay. Or if you're doing a Scottish 80. Now you're doing a Scottish 60. Yeah.
Now that's a good solution. I like that solution. Just change the whole game plan.
Right.
Maybe I don't have the ingredients. Maybe I didn't. I used up my DME the last time I fucked it up. So now I'm just going to change my recipe my beer.
And so then you just quick get out the recipe book, Jamil's recipe book, and you see what's the difference in that one than this one. And if the grist is about the same, and it's just the gravity is different. Mm-hmm. Check to see what the IBUs are and adjust that accordingly.
Okay.
You haven't ruined your brew day at all.
Right.
So there's a few ways to adjust to it. You either make a different beer. If you want to, you really want to make this same beer, you can either add fermentables to it. You can boil longer to make everything more concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
Issues with that is you're going to make more caramelized sugars.
Okay.
By boiling longer, and it's going to make more unfermentable stuff.
And you get a smaller knockout. You don't get your 10 gallons.
Yeah. You're going to get a smaller knockout, right. But you're going to get probably a higher finishing gravity than you really thought you were going to get.
Okay.
The more you caramelize the sugars, they're not going to be fermentable anymore.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's good to know.
So it changes the ratios in there. So
it'll
change the taste of the beer some by a longer boil.
And leaving some residual sweetness in that beer.
So you're gonna change more variables that way by boiling longer.
Okay.
Taste wise, mostly, but
okay. Now, one thing
still,
I wanted
still not
to
a failure yet.
Okay. Oh, good to know.
Thanks, Mom.
Mom never said that.
Wait till he was 10 to call him a failure.
You are a failure. So one thing I wanted to just mention about taking these readings, these gravity readings in your pre-boil is. So you've transferred, you've done your sparge, you've transferred all your wort, you've got your volume, right? Don't take your gravity reading right away.
No, definitely
bring
not.
It to a boil and or stir the crap out of it. Because I've taken a lot of readings about 5 minutes apart, and boy, are they different.
Yeah, didn't I just get an email from somebody about that? Generally, when you're sparging, you're going to get most of the fermentables. You're going to get 2/3 of the fermentables in the first half.
Okay.
So most of them come across, and then starts thinning out and thinning out. You'd think it all mixes in there, but it really doesn't. It stratifies.
Okay.
Think of sugars being sticky and nasty, and that's what it's going to be. And if you ever try to dissolve sugar in water, you can see that swirling around in there because it's not mixed up as well as you think it is.
Okay.
So like you're quite to the point. Get it boiling, get it stirred, let it actually dissolve all the way in.
All right. Yeah, because you're scooping off that thinner top layer,
yeah.
and you might think that you're really low. And I've done this where I thought I was real low. Added DME. Sure enough, man, 10 minutes later, oh, shit, am I high.
You're way high. You're really high.
Yeah. And I was real high, probably.
Yeah, because the molecules
stratifies.
The molecules spread out because hotter near the top.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah, just wanted to make sure that when you know, if you are going to be focusing on these numbers, that you're taking your measurements the right way and at the right time. Mm-hmm. So get that stuff going. Okay. So I think we've adjusted our pre-boil gravity now, so that we should land at our target OG at the end of boil, right?
Right.
That's where we should be anyway.
If you know your system well, if you know how much boils off in X amount of time.
Yeah. Okay.
So
what if I didn't? What if I want my target OG, let's say it's 1051. What if I'm just a couple of points high? What if I'm 1053? Do I add water at the end of the boil? After I've hopped it, I've done everything. Do I put water in that?
You can.
Is it going to dilute my hop ratio and things like that?
Well, you got a different utilization because it was, you know, the hop to sugar ratio, if you will, was a certain way. So yeah, you've already sort of cast the die. That's why the pre-boil is so important.
Well, what would you do if you're 2 points off? If it was 1053, would you leave it alone?
I would just go with that. To me, the mistake is to be made at the pre-boil gravity.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Now, of course, I'm more cautious. I'll take a 10 minute to flame out gravity reading, and I make adjustments there sometimes too.
You could always boil longer, boil less, add more in, whatever you need to do.
Okay.
But I'll think if I'm consistent, and usually I am. The pre-boil pretty much establishes everything. Once I hit that, then I really sometimes I don't even take any other readings
because you know
because then I was going to be within a point or two. I'm looking for.
Well, and I've experienced that too, and I'm not as careful as Tasty, but I will say just if you've never taken a pre-boil gravity or done it this way, I will say that once I do dial in that, I pretty much hit my OG. It's hard to screw it up from that point.
Yeah, once you get it in, I'll end up with let's say it's 1050 beer and I want a 1055 beer.
Yeah.
I get the pre-boil volume, pre-boil gravity. It's a 1050. I know that I need to boil it down to this many gallons, and I know by doing the math it's going to be at my 1055.
Right, right.
So pre-boil is, if you're really worried about the post-boil, the pre-boil is where to find it out to begin with.
Okay.
Especially with something like you're doing when you end up with it already way too high.
Right.
Boiling is just going to make it go up.
Right. And this is a tough part. If you don't have enough volume to add more water,
right,
it becomes a little difficult.
If you're really a stickler on it and you've got your heart set on making that beer, you're going to drain it out, add some water at that point, because you're going to make the same volume in there. You're going to waste some gravity points, but you still get the same amount of beer at whatever gravity you're going to have.
Right.
Don't cry over spilled wort.
Okay. I won't. I have to train myself not to do that.
Well, just take some out, throw it away if you have to, add water back in, and that's your pre-boil.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. It just means you added an extra pound of grain too much. Think of it that way.
Not that
you're throwing away beer.
Right. And it's cheap. Yeah.
And if you don't care and you just want to roll with it, just make your beer that's 3 points higher.
And hang out with JP.
Don't worry about it. Put a few more hops in. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You're going to get, even if you put hops in like Tasty's doing, you're taking a 10-minute before flame out, you throw some hops in there, you're going to get IBUs out of it. You might have to throw extra ones in there because it doesn't have the conversion, but you're still going to get the isoacids.
Okay. All right. Good to know. All right. So let's assume now we've got our gravities dialed in. I have now transferred a wort that I'm proud of with the proper original gravity to a fermenter, and I pitch some yeast, and I ferment the way I'm supposed to with a proper pitch and at the right temperature, and I don't get down to that 10-12 I was hoping for.
Okay.
What do I do?
Where'd you get to?
Well,
that's a factor here.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you say you got to 1014? You just made beer. Drink it.
Good enough. Won't even taste the difference, will
I? If you're at 1016 instead of 1012, drink it.
Okay.
You're not going to shave 5 points off by spending $10 more on yeast.
Okay. All right. But if I was going for 1012 and I landed at 1020.
Yeah.
10.22, something like that. That's that's pretty much an undrinkable beer.
Yeah.
You don't know what you get. So you can blend it. That's one way of dealing with it. If you just don't want to deal with trying to get it started again, but you can always brew a really weak beer and blend it.
Okay.
Really dry beer and blend it. So it's not so necessary. It'll still be a good beer if you did it right, but it's going to be too sweet. You don't want to deal with that. How are you going to deal with it? Well, we can try the repitching method. You can try the rousing the yeast method, mm-hmm. raising the temperature thing. I've always had mixed results with all that. If it's at 10:30 or something, then you got a better chance of getting it rolling again.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're getting closer to what it should have been, and you're 5, 6, 7, 8 points high,
then it's tougher.
It's something else.
Okay.
It's not other things. And there's a few things. It could be just your yeast strain that you used. Maybe it flocculates out too fast.
Okay.
It could be the amount of yeast you use.
Not enough.
Not enough in a lot of ways.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that have to do with the yeast. If you're an extract brewer, there's things you can't control, like the fermentability of things, like, was it Laglander? That's notoriously unfermentable.
Is that a brand?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But so, just like us making our wort, if we mash it at a low temperature or high temperature, we're going to make it more or less fermentable.
Okay.
And you're just using whatever you get. And
They've
done the mash for you, so they kind of control that. So it might not be anything you did.
All right.
And it's kind of stuck wherever it is. I mentioned earlier about caramelizing sugars by too long of a boil, too hot of a boil, too concentrated of a boil. Yeah, especially if you're an extract brewer and you're brewing a 2.5 gallon wort boil,
mm-hmm.
and then diluting after that. Thick sugars like that are going to caramelize a lot faster.
Okay.
And you're going to get stuff that's unfermented, more unfermented. You're going to make them that way by burning up the sugars.
Right.
So with that one, an easy way to deal with that is put in about a third of your extract, boil it until the last 10 or 15 minutes, and then put the rest of it in there.
Okay.
You get a lot better extract beer out of that one.
Can I just serve it at 10:20 and say that JP brewed it? Is that a solution?
Oh, yeah. It'd be pretty believable at that.
What did I brew?
This shitty 10:20 beer. That's what you brewed.
Oh, fuck that. Dude, actually, I'll drink the hell out of that thing. Brew it up. Let's do it.
You got all the way down to 10:20?
Just put that on your list when you're at your next club meeting. Just say, oh, JP sent me this beer.
Yeah. You know, and you all have carte blanche to say if you make a shitty beer, just say it's mine.
Yes, JP brewed it. He sent it to me.
We'll put it in the competition.
Yeah. I'll just show you my BJCP card.
Oh! Recognize.
Yeah. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, incomplete fermentation could be, you know, we can break it down into a few things. Wort production, your process, which includes fermentation temperature, things like that mostly.
Okay.
And then yeast, dealing with the yeast. The yeast is a big one.
Yeah.
So let's deal with the wort production, which we've been doing mostly. It has to do with making fermentables or unfermentables. Maybe you did too much or you mashed it too high of a temperature and you didn't know it.
Okay.
And we alluded to that before.
Your thermometer was off.
Your thermometer's off. You got to calibrate these thermometers. 4 or 5 degrees matters.
So if I mash too high, 4 or 5 degrees, what happens?
You get a lot of unfermentable, longer chain sugars. So you're going to get a thicker, more mouthfeel beer, but it's not going to ferment down.
Okay.
So if you want something that's going to ferment down to 10 or 10 and 9, you're not going to get that. You're going to get up in the 10, 16, 17 area. And there's nothing you can do to fix that.
Okay.
It is what it is. They can only eat so much stuff.
Right.
With all the yeast right, doing all the yeast and stuff right.
If everything else is right.
It is what it is. So you really got to make sure that all your equipment's where it is. When you're fermenting, that's the more processed stuff. When you're fermenting and you ferment real hot, the yeast rip through it, but they also die off real fast.
Okay.
So you're kind of kill off the yeast real quick. Yep. And they don't ferment all the way out. That's not such a big problem, but it can happen. So we went through the wort, some of the process stuff. Let's look into the process stuff, like with O2 oxygenating and things that bleeds over into yeast.
Yeah. Yeast health.
So, you know, we talked about strain. Some strains are more flocculent than others. That means they'll drop out of solution after a while.
Yeah.
And they don't finish out. So take a good look at what kind of yeast strain you're using.
Okay. Do you guys have an example of high flocculating yeast? Because sometimes you use it intentionally, right?
Yeah.
So what is the English one?
English
ale from...
Yep.
English is good for doing that one, especially if you're used to using Cal ale for most of your stuff, and you say, I'm going to make a British beer, and throws a monkey wranch into the whole thing.
Okay.
And it makes it really clear.
What's monkey ranch?
Monkey ranch.
Is that like ranch dressing?
Yeah. It's monkey semen.
Yeah.
Ew.
That was the joke, wasn't it? Obvious about it.
They make from monkey cum.
Monkey.
And is Cal ale a less flocculating yeast than English?
Okay. It's a strong fermenter.
Okay.
So it'll stick around and try to
keep going.
Chew as much as it can through the wort. You've got the big thing with yeast, and we tell everybody to do starters, things like that. A couple of things about starters. You don't want to make a huge starter. And I've talked to a few people about making
three gallon
starters. If you're making 10 or 15 gallons of lager, you're going to need a big starter. But you can't make a 3 gallon starter and throw one vial in it and call that a starter.
Okay.
You got to step them up. You got to go 500 milliliters to 1,000 or 2,000 milliliters to 5,000 milliliters and then up.
Okay.
The yeast know what is in the neighborhood.
Right.
And if you ask, you know, too few yeast to replicate too many times, they'll do things like they'll mutate, they'll die. They don't have very strong cell walls, a lot of stuff like that. So they don't
end up like inbreds.
Stress. Yeah.
End up like inbreds.
They have claw hands.
Yeah, you know.
And they talk like JP.
Like from West Virginia.
So,
Timmer.
I am a yeast.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
So
MrMalty.com is by the way, just a perfect resource for figuring out
a vial to a huge starter is not a good way to go.
All right.
It makes them replicate too many times.
Okay.
You need to keep stepping them up. You want to keep your starters at between 1030 and 1040. You don't want to have a really big starter, a 1060 starter. That puts too much stress on them.
Okay.
Stressed yeast aren't good. They don't perform like you want them to. If you put them into a very concentrated solution, that's what we're talking about, osmotic pressure.
Yeah.
Too much osmotic pressure, and it stresses the yeast.
Okay.
We should talk about, they have a growth phase, which you really need to take into consideration.
Do they get stretch marks?
Yes, they do.
Hmm.
And then their cell membranes don't work very well. They're not as permeable, and they don't work well about bringing things across the cell membrane into the cell to do the yeasty things and then put them back through the cell wall into the wort.
Okay.
So the lag phase or the growth phase, you really got to take into consideration. So they need oxygen. It goes round and round about, do you use air? Do you use oxygen? Whatever. One of the big things about oxygen, straight oxygen, is it's toxic to them, but that's in pretty high volumes.
Okay.
As home brewers, it's tough for us to get that much into solution all at once.
All right.
When you're putting it in there with a stone and it's bubbling out the top, it's not going in solution. It's coming out the top. So one of the ways I like to do that, I do step infusion of oxygen. I'll do 2 minutes or so, minute and a half, 2 minutes. And then I'll let it go 6 or 7 hours. And then if it's not fermenting, I'll do it again. And then 6 or 7 hours later, if it's not going, I'll do it again.
Okay.
Most of it does not stay in the solution. It does not stay in it. And it'll filter it. If the yeast doesn't use the oxygen, then it will just kind of diffuse out of the solution.
Okay.
So you need to put it back in there. And as long as they've got oxygen, it's the only time that they're going to replicate is when they have oxygen.
All right.
So you need to have that in there. And if you give it to them all at once, it can be toxic. If you give it to them a little bit at a time, they can use it a lot better.
Okay.
You need to have, you need that because they can build sterols, so they can build better cell walls. If they don't have good cell walls, they're not going to be able to deal with the maltose or the maltotriose, which are the bigger fermentable sugars. They're 1, 2, and 3 glucose molecules bigger.
Okay.
But they don't pass through the cell walls very easily, and they'll stay in solution, so you're going to get that higher gravity, and you're going to get a sweeter beer out of it. It's all because you didn't treat the yeast right and make their cell walls happy.
Okay.
So as they'll replicate, but if they don't replicate with good, strong cell walls, it's not going to work across that one. So if you get incomplete multiplication, you're going to get, you know, nutrients have a lot to do with it. People think that, I've read too, that all the nutrients they need is in the wort. You really got to add stuff to them. You add some yeast nutrient. There's several of them out there.
What do you use, and where do you do it?
I use Ferment K, and I use Servomyces.
Okay.
The big thing about Servomyces is it's got a lot of zinc in it. Zinc is a big key factor for the minerals that they're going to need.
Are you putting those in your starter or in your wort?
I put them in both. I put a little bit in the starter.
Yeah.
Just because I want them to replicate really well. And that's the reason I'm putting it in there, because I want them to replicate. When I put them in the wort, they're going to know that they need a lot more of their buddies around, because it's a lot more volume and more sugar. So that's when they clicks on that they need to replicate.
Okay.
So I make sure I have it in there too.
Chad, where do you, I know you put it in the starter. What do you put in the starter?
Ferment K.
Ferment K.
Yep.
And then just what do you, and then you put something in the boil too, don't you?
Servomyces.
Okay.
Yep.
Just at the end of the boil, you open the little pill and throw it in there.
You want to sanitize, you want it to go in.
You do want it. Okay.
Yeah.
So do it at the end of the boil. All right.
Don't throw the capsule in. It doesn't really dissolve. It just floats around.
Yeah, I did that once, actually. Well, because I just thought, why would they give it to me in a capsule if I can't throw it in there?
I think we've all done that.
Yeah, so. It does just float around. I ended up scooping it back out. And
yeah, just float. Just
felt like a dumbass.
Open it up and the stuff that come out.
Yeah. All right.
You can have issues with old cells. If you've got an old yeast that's past its expiration date, I don't throw it away. But it just, there's less viable cells in there. You just need to step up the starter better with that one, and it'll still work. It's not like they're contaminated or anything. There's just less viable cells per volume in there. So I've got some platinum strains that I'll still use that are around, and I keep them cold, keep them in good condition.
But definitely step them up. Don't just step them up.
Yeah, proof the yeast in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've got a lot of that things. Again, I talked about initial cell count being too small. Once you put them into a certain concentration and volume of wort, they know how much they're going to have to replicate. They can only replicate so many times. They have a finite amount of that before they start to mutate and do weird things. So you need to put, that's why we're talking always about putting significant amount of yeast into the solution.
Right.
If you put too little in there, I mean really under pitch, you're going to have problems with it. They're just not going to be able to do it. They're going to butt off, and they're going to have bad cell walls. And
they'll be tired and
they're going to be tired.
A bit stupid.
And there might not be enough of them that you might think there would be.
Okay.
Yeah. They're only going to replicate so many times. They're not going to replicate up to the point where you need to.
Okay.
So you've got that. Some of the effects of that one... you know, like I talked about the yeast and the maltose. If they can't deal with the maltose to the cell membrane, you're going to get a sweet beer.
Yeah.
They don't clean up their byproducts very well when they're not healthy.
Dirty bastards.
So you're going to get, you know, the acetaldehyde, the diacyl, and DMSO.
Okay.
So you're getting off flavors also with that kind of thing, not to mention just... under attenuated beer,
just because they're not healthy enough to go back and eat that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just, that's not what they're wanting to do.
Okay.
So you've got a lot of things that can be, and most of it has to do with yeast health and handling that. So you've got a lot of things, pitching the most yeast you can.
Yeah.
And stepping it up to get the most yeast. Don't just go from small vial to a huge starter. Step it up a couple times. Most people, when they do a starter, generally only can wake them up. They don't replicate them either.
Right.
So you could think about that ahead of time.
Okay. Do you aerate your starter also?
I have a stir plate, so that's...
So you don't need it.
I don't need to. But okay. Before I had a stir plate, yes, I did.
Then you did. Okay.
I would aerate it a couple of times and get that moving up.
Okay.
What else do I got here?
So a lot of this, by the way, is preventative. Rather than, you know, you're stuck with it now, what do you do?
Right.
Just so you guys know, you know...
If we want to go
do it right the first time.
Going to go back to trying to fix something that's that. We're talking about, you know, if you're...
Well, it's okay. I'd rather teach people to fish than...
Yeah, if you're 4 or 5 points high, you're not going to fix that. Maybe even 10 points high, you're not going to fix that.
Yeah.
If you've got a 10-35 beer that's stuck there, something went wrong with that. And you
if
can,
you're that far off, you can pitch again, right?
You can pitch again. You don't need to pitch a huge starter, but something... A yeast that's really up and running,
mm-hmm.
Put it on there.
Okay.
Stir it up. Maybe you're going to get enough oxygen pouring that in there probably, so you'll be all right.
All right. Okay. Well, it sounds like we've given you guys enough techniques to take a look at your numbers and know what you need to do, first of all, in order to get them right the first time. And second of all, if you end up a little off, a couple of techniques to adjust
you.
So...
all is not lost.
Right. And all is never lost. I have some numbers in front of me here or some questions in front of me here. Jippo?
Yes, you do.
How much difference, Jingos is in the chat room. He wants to know, how much difference does a degree on the hydrometer make? Is that like 1-2% alcohol by volume? So, in other words, the difference between, say, 10-13 and 10-14 in ABV. What is that? Is that a one? Is that that's not even a percent?
No,
is it?
No,
just a little bit. Yeah,
it's
yeah. Usually we're not
2%, maybe.
Okay,
it's not much. If you think if you're going from a 10-50 to a 10-10, and you're getting a 5% beer,
it's 0.1%
or something.
Half. Okay, got it. All right.
Thinking about under attenuated beers, think more instead of alcohol. Think more of taste. It's too sweet. Rather than, and the bitterness doesn't balance well with it. So instead of how much alcohol did I get in it? And I can make you some alcohol bombs that taste like shit, but it'll get your redneck party going.
My redneck party?
Yeah.
I am in Pacheco.
Yeah, don't ever forget it, by the way.
I don't. All right, Film Lab Rat is in the chat.
Lab Rat.
Lab rat.
Lab rat.
If you fermented with your favorite liquid yeast but need to get your final gravity down and you add a little dry yeast to the last few for those last few points.
Add a little bit.
Will it have a significant effect on the flavor?
Add a little bit.
I don't think you'll get the gravity down. I really don't.
You don't?
No. I think you're stuck with whatever the fermentability of your
Unless it's like a champagne yeast or something, right?
Champagne.
Maybe.
That eats everything there.
That starts eating things. You're talking about wine yeast. It's got to start eating things that maybe the...
eat them shits.
The beer yeast doesn't.
Okay.
Beer yeast is pretty much beer yeast. If you want to get into...
But it'll eat your unfermentable sugars, too.
Right.
So it will.
If you want to get in, you know, throw in some... Brettanomyces or something, that's going to eat things that you don't want. They eat things that the Servomyces doesn't.
The dextrins.
So you're getting a whole different beer out of it.
Okay.
Better than the next time, if he wants a drier beer, cut out about 10% of his extract and use sugar.
Yeah.
He'll have the same starting gravity, but the makeup of the gravity is different, and it'll dry it out.
Got it.
It's much better that way.
Okay.
I just want to dispel a myth of we always talk about drying out your beer with sugar. That doesn't mean adding more sugar on top of everything else you have. It means cutting out your fermentables from your wort, the grain or the extract, and adding that back with sugar.
So you have to substitute, not just add on.
To substitute, not adding into.
Okay. All right.
So to dry your beer out with sugar means to substitute some of your fermentables, not add to your fermentables.
Okay. All right, sounds good to me. 888-401-BEER is the number. I'm going to make Chad do some call screening here in the next segment if you guys have any other questions. We're going to get to our mini topic when we come back. If you do have numbers questions, then by all means, send them in. JP is in the chat room with you there. Just
That's
hit
me.
Hit the chat now button.
I'm a JP.
Yeah. I have this right? Am I playing the wrong audio? No, it's right. All right.
I don't know. Sounds wrong.
Hit the chat now button or call 888-401-BEER. We'll be back to wrap things up.
listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network. Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way. Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brew pub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted Best Night Spot 7 times and Best Brew Pub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tailwagon Amber Ale and Double Secret Probation IPA, are the perfect accent to riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and the BN Army Member Special. Wear your BN gear, get 10% off your beer. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub, where you'll feel at home.
There's an app on the iPhone for just about everything, including beer. Apps for finding a pint of beer. Apps that look like you're drinking a pint of beer. And now, there's an app for brewing a pint of beer. Introducing BrewPal, the most all-inclusive beer brewing app for professionals and hobbyists that fits in your pocket and goes wherever you do. Recipe formulation that can be imported and exported with a customizable database. Mash and sparge calculations, yeast pitching rates, carbonation tables, and more. Available right now for less coin than a pound of grain. See BrewPal in action at brewpal.info and download it for your iPhone at a special introductory price right now. BrewPal, all the brewing software you need, right in your pocket. When Blickman Engineering set out to design a great brewing stand, they knew it had to be strong, adaptable, and last for a lifetime. The top-tier brewing stand is now proudly available at BlickmanEngineering.com. It grows with your brewing skills and equipment. Start with 5-gallon coolers on its heavy-gauge stainless steel shelves. Then move all the way up to 30-gallon pots on the high-output burner tiers. Speaking of burners, the custom Blickman Engineering top-tier burners are extremely powerful, efficient, and amazingly quiet. They have safety stops to center your pot, and they'll last a lifetime and won't rust. The top-tier brewing stand allows virtually infinite combinations from traditional gravity systems to two tiers to completely horizontal. Configure your stand the way you want and have the freedom to change it at any time in the future. Your brewing stand should adapt with you, not force you to learn a new process. Visit BlickmanEngineering.com today to configure your top-tier brewing stand and to find a local Blickman retailer. You'll be surprised with all the flexible features and the competitive price. Start brewing with Blickman from the top tier.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
Out of Brewcast.
This is the Brewing Network.
Oh. Almost a little throw up there at the end of it.
Let me see it. Yeah.
It's called a burp.
Yeah.
A little vomit, a little burp.
Yeah. Just at the end. Just a little carbonation at the end of it. That's all.
Oh, don't you love it when all the carbonation comes up in your mouth?
A little carbonated burp. That's all.
Got a foam burp.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. So, Chad, you might have to sit at that one over there to take phone calls, I guess, or just bring the phone in front of you. 888-401-BEER. Just a couple little segments left here, and then we're gonna hit the road.
Yeah, sure.
The volunteers are tired after Boonville.
We're revolting.
I'm not.
Boozville.
Tasty and Chad have gone to Boozville. Jipper is coming down with the plague.
Right, yeah.
Doc's healthy.
Doc's ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Good. He's broadcast till 10.
Fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doc should keep it short. If you miss your number, you're fucked. All right.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. I thought every question would just be like, yeah, just ask Chad. What do I do if this happens? You ask Chad. What if I get it wrong? You have Chad do it. I like that. Those are my answers anyway. All right, so just real quick, we're going to go through our mini topic for you today. We try to cover these each week for you now so that we can just cover, you know, one extra topic in brief, not at length like we do the other ones. Just kind of cover some of the basics of a couple of things. And something that came up last week that I had asked each of the brewcasters about that I thought we could just elaborate for a couple of minutes on is water to grist ratio for you all grain brewers out there. And by the way, you know, I do promise you extract brewers that we'll get to your topics again too. They tend to be less of them, so that's why they all grain so prevalent. Plus, it's just more fun. So water to grist ratio is something to think about based on when we were talking about it a little bit last week. We talked about how the water to grist ratio might change based on the style of beer that you're brewing, and it might change based on your system. And it certainly might change based on the size of the beer that you're brewing, like a high-gravity beer. So those are just a couple of things that I wanted to cover. So when you have a higher water to grist ratio, you obviously then have a thinner mash. You've got more water along with the grist. If you have a lower water to grist ratio, you have a thicker mash. All right, those are the two things. But what I want to know is what that means. I mean, that's the obvious thing. You know, I can stick my hand in there like a dumbass because it's real hot and see how thick it is. But what does it really mean to me? So, what does a thin mash? What does that equal? I guess is what I'm asking. How does it affect my beer?
Well, essentially, I mean, the enzymes, when they go to work in the mash tun, they do a lot better when they're in closer proximity is what I understand it as being. So when they're kind of, you know, away from each other, you don't have that same enzyme activity happening.
Okay.
So
a little less potent.
Exactly. That's my understanding. So Doc can probably be more scientific. Yeah, it's slower. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slower.
But you also got to remember that as you're mashing, you're killing enzymes. You're denaturing them. So if you have 100% of the enzymes at the beginning, pretty soon you're going to have 80%, 70%, all the way down. And you're going to have less efficiency as you're killing off all the enzymes. So if they're in close proximity, like Chad was saying, they're going to be more efficient faster.
Okay.
So you're going to have...
So you don't want it to be too thin because...
Yeah, they're going to be swimming... The enzymes will be swimming around looking for things to...
And that's tiring. Enzyme. Let's face it.
Yeah.
That's tiring. I can't even swim.
And then you're probably get a less fermentable mash out of it.
Okay. All right. So less fermentable if I've gone too thin. So the other way around it, of course, is you could end up very thick. And now this happens. Let's say I want to brew a barley wine. And I'm on a 5-gallon system, for example, or even with our 10-gallon 1550, it could become an issue if our mash tun isn't large enough to hold or is barely large enough to hold all the grain I need to produce this high-gravity wort. So now I have a really thick mash. I got a low water-to-grist ratio. Well, what effect does that have? Does it matter? And let me just point out that one problem I've had with a low water-to-grist ratio is getting my volume. Is being able to run off the right volume. So, but what else can I expect out of a low water to grist ratio, a thick mash?
Well, the thin mesh. Let's go back to the thin mesh.
All right. Let's do that.
Just to contrast it.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Well, it might give you more fermentables, actually, because the enzymes get inhibited by concentration.
Okay.
But they also got to work harder at looking for what's out there.
Right. So longer mesh. Hopefully, there'll still be some enzymes left at the end of that long
period. Right. So, and you also got to remember that this is probably the least significant influence on your mash than all the other stuff.
Okay.
So don't put that in front of anything else.
Don't dwell on it. Okay.
Don't dwell on it. Your mash pH,
mash temp.
All those are going to be much more.
Okay. Yeah.
Much more influential on this whole thing.
All right. Okay, so a thinner mash could end up okay as long as I give it the amount of time those enzymes need to find the fermentables to do the activity it needs to create fermentables, and I can have a more fermentable wort with a right. thin mash. So, thick mash, what's the opposite? What's the
thick
other?
Mash, you're going to get possibly faster breakdown, but you're also going to get faster conversion, but you're also going to probably get more of a ratio of less fermentable sugars end up in a sweeter, maltier kind of beer.
Okay. So sometimes you want to, and now this is where you guys say that you will adjust your water to grist ratio according to style sometimes.
Yeah, if I'm in the middle. For most people first starting to mash or to brew, maybe you've been doing all grain for a little while and you want to do something really big, barley wine, something like that, but your mash tun just not going to cut it, and
yeah.
you got it stacked to the top with about 2 drops of water in it.
Right, it's like porridge.
Right,
you got porridge. That's when it's going to come into issues with this kind of thing.
Okay, is it going to hurt? I mean, can I do it?
Sure.
Okay,
but you could probably get end up with a thicker, maltier beer than you would have normally thought.
That's something you touched on. You're going to have to sparge more, which you might tend to over sparge or something like that too, since you're going to count on the sparge water to give you your volume, not your
right
your liquor in your mash tun.
So this might be one of those cases where I'm going to have to add some DME instead of trying to cram everything into my mash tun.
Well, you strike the balance you have to strike. I mean, that might give you the better tasting beer. Yeah,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Then that's what you'd do.
Right. There's different things you can do with that. You can do a double mash.
Yeah, mash twice.
You mash twice. You can do what they call it when you reuse the
batch barge or
your
party guile.
Oh
no,
reuse this late runnings as strike water for the next.
Yeah,
mash?
Yeah. You use your runoff as your strike water.
Ah, okay.
For a new mash.
Yeah.
Got it.
So there's a lot of ways that it's been thought of many times before we've even been around how to get more out of it.
Right.
So.
What do you call it when you reuse your roommate's girlfriend? What's that called? That's
friend
party
disease?
Guile, I think.
It's called friendship.
It's called party being guy. A bro.
Ain't no fun if my homies can't have none.
Yes. Now, Jip, do you change your water to grist ratio, or are you consistent every time you brew?
I don't even know what that means.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Water to grain ratio?
No, I keep it. You keep it 1.1.
All the time, no matter
time.
What you're brewing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. See, this is just stuff I want to understand because I like to keep it the same too, but it's just always out there to people talk about using different ratios, and it seems to be one of these points that is hotly debated.
And
not a whole lot of answers.
We told you it's probably the least parameter that you got to worry about.
Okay.
Yes.
It comes more into factor when you have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to have a real thick mash because that's all that's going to fit in your mash tun.
Gotcha.
If you have to do it for other reasons, or if you just blow it and you put in way too much strike water, most people heat their water in their mash tun and then dump the grain in, and then you have way too much water or way too thin of a mash, that might affect it a little bit too.
Okay.
And that's mostly when it comes up. If you want to start manipulating it, make sure you got all the other things in line. You got a handle on your pH. You got a handle on everything. Your temperature, everything.
All right, good enough for me. Chad, who's on the phone?
Whitebeard Brewer.
Whitebeard, what's happening, brother?
Hey, brother, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Not much. Hey, I got a question for the fellas. It might be Tasty kind of touched on a little bit earlier, but let's say I'm shooting for a 10, Well, first off, let's say my name is Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's a pussy and wouldn't call in.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Okay, let's say I'm shooting for a 1065 post-boil gravity.
Okay.
And I hit 1060. What is the magic number of pounds of DME to raise it 1 point or 5 points or... Or is there a set time? Like Casey said earlier, you know,
I see where you're
10 minutes longer.
I see
how many
you're...
How many gallons do you have?
We'll say 10.
Okay, 10. 10's fairly easy. So that's going to give you about 1036, I think, per pound per gallon. So you want to raise it about 5. I'm trying to do the math here.
He is doing the math. See, by the way, this is why all these equations are in How to Brew. Yeah, you can actually do this. It'll tell you how many pounds of DME to add per gallon of wort, right?
Right.
Per point.
Yeah. So if you added 10 pounds, you'd get 36 more points.
Got it.
Per gallon.
Okay.
So about 3.6. Yeah. I'm trying to do this in my head, and I've been drinking. So.
You're doing better than me already.
Combination.
Tell you that.
It's a good thing you were drinking on the math show.
Yeah.
When it happens to me, I don't usually do any math. I just get out the DME and
you can add
your
it
eyeball.
In
too.
Look at the what my gravity is, what I want it to be. Look at the it's quite a bit of liquid there. and I'll like use half as much as I think I need, and sure, and I'll stir that in really well.
Yeah.
And I'm probably at boil at this point.
Oh, you can do the math.
And I'll take another measurement, and I just kind of sneak up on it rather than do a lot of math.
Okay.
Okay.
Doc's still doing
the
math.
And Casey had mentioned before that, you know, boil it 10 minutes longer, you know, does he have some magic formula he uses to boil off 5 more points?
Well, that formula you can calculate because that's exactly what you're doing. I mean, the difference, what you've done so far to that point is boiling off points. If you know what your measurement is, you can predict what you're going to do in 10 minutes.
So I figure about a pound and a quarter. You're going to hit 3.6. If you put in 1 pound and 10 gallons, you're going to get 3.6 points. So, pound and a half.
There you go.
Okay.
Something like that.
But you can do this math because it is in the How to Brew. Tasty's saying if you've calculated what your boil-off rate is already, then you can calculate how much longer it takes to boil to get down your extra 5 points.
Okay, cool.
Just try taking that 10-minute reading a few times, and pretty soon you'll know what 10 means in terms of at zero.
See, I agree. I know it sounds like it's not science, but I agree with Tasty on this. You tend to just start to... It's very consistent. Yeah. 10 minutes of boiling is the same in your system every time. So you start to know when you've screwed this up a couple of times how long you have to boil. That's all.
Brewer intuition.
Because you bet your ass I'm not pulling out some equation like Doc just did.
Well, if you do this at the pre-boil, as soon as you've done sparging,
then you're good to go.
And you got an hour to deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I brewed at Russian River, we they took the pre-boil, and they didn't think we were going to hit our number. They thought we were going to be a little bit low. So they just boiled more vigorously. They turn the steam dial, the steam valve up just a little bit higher.
Got it.
And
because they knew.
I think we even did a little bit longer boil before we added the hops too. They did that for you. Well, I was consulted, but they were taking care of that.
Right. They knew the system.
They know their system.
So, if you're at the last 10 minutes, it's better to do the Tasty method and you put in about half of what you need, take another reading, and then titrate it up. It's a lot less stressful that way.
Okay.
Yeah, if you run off and start doing calculations,
if you got
10 minutes to...
Right,
to
if you got an hour, you're fine. If you've got 10 minutes, don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah, understood. All right, how's that, Whitebeard?
That works for me.
Thanks, brother.
I hope it works for Wood.
Later. All right, there you go. Whitebeard Brewer, 888-401-BEER if you want to call in. And that was our mini topic today, the water to grist. So thank you for all that. And thank you for your questions about the numbers, too. And thanks to JP.
Yeah. What'd I do?
Nothing.
Oh, good. Just if you need me to keep doing
just
nothing.
Just for being you.
Let me know. You want to see my wiener?
Nope.
Oh.
No, thanks for not showing me your wiener is actually probably what I meant.
Thank you for that.
All right, so we're almost done here. Let me check what other business I have left to do. I did want to tell you, you know, as we're covering all these numbers and these calculations that we're talking about, you know, we mentioned a couple times during the program that brewing software is really the easiest way to calculate a lot of it, and it is your friend. Go over to beersmith.com, and Beersmith's what I've been using now my last couple of brews. I use it every time. You can get a 2-week free trial over there if you go to beersmith.com. So why wouldn't you try it out? I mean, screw it. Mess around with it. And if you're used to using another brewing software, what I did was I had the luxury of having roommates with laptops. So I had Beersmith on my laptop, and I had my old brewing software on Chad's laptop, and I was able to kind of corroborate my numbers. Because you get kind of nervous. You want to get it right. You don't want to mess up your brew because you're using something new, just like using any other new part of your brew system. So with me, I was able to kind of corroborate the numbers, put it together, and now I dig using Beersmith. So go get your free trial. Go to beersmith.com. It's pretty robust with all of its feature set. It's got a great interface. You can keep stock of your ingredients if you're one of these guys like Jamil who likes to keep all the different grains around so he can brew anything anytime. You can keep a whole inventory. You can make yourself a shopping list for the next time you're down at the More Beer and you want to just print out your shopping list. You know what you got to buy. It's really kind of a cool thing. Makes you feel like you're a real brewer or something. I mean, which is, for me, that's good.
Yeah.
Anything that can help me feel that way is a good thing. So check out beersmith.com, get your 2-week trial, and I think you're going to like what you find there. I know I did, so I made the switch. It's good shit. All right, how about a quick break? And this will be our last break. When we come back, we got to give away some Belgian candy sugar. We could take some Drunk of the Week calls.
Why don't we just do it now?
I guess, because I got to get another break. Oh. I got sponsors to pay, like our wonderful sponsor over at morebeer.com. They deserve this next commercial that's going to be the first commercial that plays at this break.
Oh.
I could just not do it and explain to Graham how JP didn't want me to play his commercials at the final break.
That'll go over well. They don't.
You're playing at the end of the show after everybody's tuned off.
Right. All right. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Drunk of the Week calls, give away some Belgian candy sugar, and get the hell out of here. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Hey, Push, the new brewery's looking good.
Thanks, Finn. Piece by piece.
Well, let's fire her up. Whoa! Is that a new kettle?
Yeah, just got it brand new, but paid half price.
What? And that blade scale?
40% off.
The new tap handle?
$5 instead of 13. Got a new regulator for the brew stand, too, but $5 instead of 25.
Dude, where are you stealing all this stuff from?
Where else? The More Beer deal of the day.
Announcing the Beer, and More Beer deal of the day. Every day, a new fantastic deal from big items to small that will blow you away. Boil kennels, carboy carriers, sterile siphon starters, digital timers. Watch morebeer.com every day for a new deal, and you just might find the item you've been waiting for at a price you cannot believe. Hurry, because stock is limited on most items.
And that sweet Guinness cap, let me guess.
The More Beer deal of the day.
Yeah, I knew it. Come on, let's brew something. Find the More Beer deal of the day at morebeer.com. Celebrity voices impersonated.
What's up, dude? Why the long face?
Valentine's Day was awful. The World of Warcraft subscription was a strikeout.
Ooh, yeah, I hear ya. A couple of years ago, the new Hoover I got my wife was a bomb, too. But last year, I found playfulevenings.com.
What? What's that?
You know, Mrs. Badrock's store. It's awesome. Totally tasteful passion toys.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What's a passion toy?
You know, it's a central aid in the bedroom.
Ooh.
All kinds of stuff. Massage oils, couples games, lingerie, and books.
Books?
Yeah. Where do you think Ticklist Pickle came from?
Yeah, boy.
Seriously. Fun stuff, and Mrs. Badrock takes care of the BN Army with 10% off. Go to playfulevenings.com and click on Shop Online now. Put BN Army in the coupon code.
Playfulevenings.com. Thanks, Mrs. Badrock. You're a lifesaver.
BN Army, it's Valentine's Day all year long at playfulevenings.com.
What's funny is, brewers will say, yeah, I don't brew to stop. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer.
You know?
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
You're listening to The Session.
You're listening to The Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
Talking about Roger Waters coming to town at the break.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Roger Waters fan. The Wall is one of my favorite all-time albums, altogether. I still listen to it all the time to this day.
I saw the concert.
You saw the original Wall concert?
Oh, yeah. The tour?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
1979 or 80?
Right when Roger was all fucking nutty?
Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, it was incredible. And in fact, I'm pretty sure it's one of those things that I didn't know I was going. I was at my friend's house, and his roommate says, "You know, I don't want these fucking tickets."
Oh,
and he goes, "You guys want them? Yeah,
yeah." Okay. He's a nutcase, Roger. How is it that he's back? How is he able to do shows still? Isn't he completely insane by now?
No, it was Sid that was insane.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Roger.
No.
Oh, I'm excited to go to that. Oh, yeah. So he's coming to town. We're gonna go see him.
Yeah, I think we should. It's.
It's not till December, but tickets are on sale this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I bet they're going fast, so we need to get something decent.
Chad won't go.
I bet they're not
going. He'll go to the reggae version.
I think the pre-sale's still today.
It is. I think you're right.
So we should probably...
Maybe we should do it after the show.
Yes.
Killer light show, huh, guys?
Laser? Yeah.
Dude.
I have been to a Wall laser light show, too.
It's all purple and shit, dude.
I used to go to those laser light shows all the time back when I was smoking weed. Oh, yeah. There'd be like a U2 one coming to town. I'd go to any of them. I didn't care. I was high as fuck. And you just go lay, look at those stupid lasers.
Yeah.
I remember how high tech they used to seem. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going, man.
I could have sat there with my own pen laser doing it on the roof.
It's like a friggin' light bright. It's retarded.
Yeah, they got to use the planetarium for something.
Yeah, that's true. It was always at the planetarium. That's right.
But aren't they known for that? Like big light shows or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big everything shows.
It was big everything.
Look at the big pig flying over you, pigs on a wing.
The Wall was incredible.
Oh, and that's what he's performing when he's coming to town.
He's
it's
doing
the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's great. It's got to be good.
And hopefully he patched it up with David Gilmour a little bit and he'll come out.
You think?
I don't know.
Did they hate each other? Is that what happened?
Everybody hated everybody.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Every good band.
But it's been.
That's why you should have been in a band, JP. You'd
years.
Have been perfect at
We're
hating
We're the band
people.
Right here. I hate everybody.
A lot of hate.
That's true, yeah.
I hate you. I'm in a bad mood all the time.
It is, dude.
I can't control my emotions.
But usually it happens sort of afterwards.
I can't control myself!
You're still sticking around.
Yeah. Bebo's the drummer because
you're
so
it wrong.
Flaky.
Yeah, exactly.
Bebo is the drummer.
All right, well, we got to look for tickets. We're going to call Pax is the one who let me know about it, so...
He let you know wrong.
Paxton, I know.
He did let you know wrong.
He wants to go.
We have to get the stretch limo for him.
He will. You don't like Pink Floyd, Jip?
No.
You're such a music douche. How can you not like Pink Floyd?
They're boring to me.
What?
Yeah, they're boring and trite.
Oh, man.
Wow. You didn't smoke enough weed when you were younger.
No, absolutely not.
He's got a word of the day calendar, don't you?
That was Wednesday. Not at all?
That's just what I was. My principal said on my report card.
Have you listened to The Wall in its entirety?
No, it just bores me. This just bores me.
Mm.
We don't need no
because
God.
Because you're just sitting there. You need to watch something while you're doing it.
Right. So the first time I watched The Wall, I'd gone to a dentist to get a molar that had gone away, was on its way going away.
Oh, the one you don't have?
The one I don't have.
Yeah, okay.
And
I went to
one of those, you know, cattle call shops where there's like 50 chairs in it or whatever.
Sears.
So I go in there and the guy, he pulls out half of it and he can't get the rest out. And I'm not kidding. This is one of those scenes that you see in the movies. He's got his knee on my chest. He's like, he's doing everything.
I just can't see that.
I swear to God, this guy
on your shoulders.
Was up on top of me trying to get this thing out, right?
Yeah, he was.
Couldn't get it out. Got half of it out. So he sent me home, and he's like, so listen.
I got this guy.
He sent me home. He's like, it's going to be kind of fucked in about an hour when this Novocaine wears off. You're going to be in bad shape. I tore out about half of that tooth. I can't get out the rest. I'm going to give you prescriptions for some really strong stuff, and we're going to send you to an oral surgeon tomorrow morning. Fine. Great. So whatever he prescribed me, you know, some sort of double Vicodin, Lorset, who knows. Go home, take the Lorset, smoke a doobie, pop in Pink Floyd The Wall, lay to my bed.
Best night ever.
I swear to you, I slept about 2 feet above my bed that night. I never touched my bed. I hovered just above it.
There is no Justin Alizul or levitation.
And certainly through the entire movie, boy, was that a good movie that night. It was the first time I'd seen it, and I was like, so this is what everyone's been talking about.
You saw the light.
I saw the light, and I never touched the bed all night long. I fell asleep just like that, hovering. It was fantastic.
You ever do the Michael Jackson thing?
No, what's the Michael? I thought it was a Wizard.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's Wizard of Oz.
Touch a kid? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Touch a kid and die.
Didn't he make
white?
Like a creepy like Wizard of Oz movie, too?
I think he did. You
talking Moonwalker?
Sorry, I'm getting my things mixed up here.
You are getting your
Wizard
things
of Oz with the wall is what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, supposedly, yes.
No,
if you start
Wizard
the
of Oz
wall...
No, Wizard of Oz with Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, is that what... Oh, right.
Synchronicity.
You're supposed to like start Dark Side of the Moon
after
the credits
lion or something
right
growl
yeah. right at the end.
Yeah, and it's supposed to work with the swirling tornado
right.
We need to try that.
Look at if you're high enough, you play anything next to it. It's going to work, isn't it?
Wow, this Slayer album really works with Gone with the Wind.
Well, Doc's a hook, Doc will hook you up, and here you go.
Yeah, I used to like
try it.
I used to love cartoons and no sound and stereo really loud and everything tweaking. That was my favorite.
Oh, man.
Saturday morning was good at my house.
Doc, I met you too late. That's what happened. Back in the day, we might be dead now had I met
killed
you years ago.
I would have killed you. I lost a few friends.
But did you kill them?
No, not legally.
All right. Well, it appears we don't have any Drunk of the Week phone calls today. Apparently, people are being good on Mother's Day, I guess. I don't know what's happening. Taking care of the mamas. So Nico's wife had a Mama's Day baby.
Nico's wife had a Mama's Day baby.
Oh, wow.
Mother's
Day. I want to say Bad Rock's. Weren't Bad Rock's kid? Wasn't Bad Rock's kid
could
born
be
on
that.
Mother's Day, too?
That could be the case.
Yeah, but see, Mother's Day's always on Sunday. So the birthday doesn't float.
Right. Good point.
So 107.
That's a good point.
So it saves me about Memorial
Nico
Day.
Nico Brew's in the chat room.
Yeah.
Nico Brew's in the chat.
He's not taking care of that new baby, huh?
No.
Just sleeps there now anyway.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's awake. Oh, he's probably still celebrating.
Yeah, it's probably his night off.
How many babies that guy had now?
The second, one. I think.
No, second. You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Two babies.
He himself is just a baby.
Well, I got to give away some Belgian candy sugar to somebody.
Give it to Nico.
Give it to Todd.
Give it to Nico.
Should we give it to Nico for what? Has he ever won, you think?
He won a baby today.
He won a baby. All right, Nico gets the Belgian candy sugar. I will send him courtesy of Dark Candy Inc. They've been supporting this show for a couple of years now and doing it very silently, by the way. They ask nothing of us other than we give out some Belgian candy sugar and that you folks who receive the Belgian candy sugar, just let us know what you think about it. And they always want to know honest opinions. They really want to know what you're experiencing and how it's working out. They love that kind of good feedback. So Belgian candy sugar to Nico, courtesy of Dark Candy Inc., our good friends over there. I'll put it in the mail this week for you, Nico. And you could brew
yourself. Mom will.
You could brew a baby Belgian beer. A Belgian beer for your baby. Yes, my mom will. That's true.
Look at Dunn.
You know what else she has to ship this week? Good surprise for NHC. Finally got our dog tags in. But they're not laser engraved yet. I'll just take the phone chat. Looks like we have Brutat on the phone. Hang on, Brutat. I got to get them engraved so they have the BN Army thing and everything, but we're going to have, at NHC, we're going to have dog tags.
We finally
got them this week. To you folks at home.
Oh, so everybody can have that.
Everyone will get dog tags. That's right. You guys have been asking now for a year or two. Because what happened? The supplier was a big fat douche, and I couldn't get them, and I finally got them.
We're going to call people douches tonight.
Yeah. No, we are.
Oh, okay.
What are we going to get through a whole show without calling somebody a douche?
Yeah, you tried.
Yeah.
We'll do it in French. La douche.
La douche.
Tat, what's happening, brother?
Speaking of douche.
Yeah. How are you, man?
Your timing, buddy.
Hey, I'm good. So we're not going to have a suite at the NHC? What the fuck?
You know, I called a couple weeks ago to find out what the options were because I felt like it was such a good time last year that I'd see what I could do. They don't have any. They don't have suites.
At all.
The only ones that they have are, like, it's you know, where there's a sitting area. That's their suite. You know what I mean?
The big rooms with a couch. Mini suite crap.
They don't have any regular suite. At least that's what they told me. They don't have any regular suites.
Do they have a small conference room we could
I guess that could happen. But at that point, then why aren't we just staying in the hospitality suite, right? Because that's kind of...
There you go. We'll crash that because you're a board member. You can get us in, right?
Well, no. It stays open late. Remember, like, you can stay in the H suite until they kick you out, basically.
6 a.m.?
Yeah.
Well, no. I guess not.
Well, there you go.
Right.
Can I use all the Blickman stuff to beer Jenga people?
Probably. Actually, I don't think John would care. John's
Jenga by Blickman.
Yeah, it'd be pretty great.
You got Blickman.
Blickman is the sponsor of the Drunk Jenga.
I would love that. End up with I'd love to see John sticking a Therminator on somebody's forehead. That thing's heavy. I don't know what to do about that, because they don't seem to have suites, and I think we're just going to have to go old school.
Adjoining rooms?
And pour.
Adjoining.
Maybe, I don't know. We better make friends with our neighbors then, because that stuff all sold out a long time ago. We have rooms in the main hotel, but...
They haven't assigned rooms yet.
That's a good point. Another good point you make.
Yeah, we can get all of our rooms in a row.
Right.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Get a whole floor. A BN floor. There we go.
That would be awful for the maids the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
Housekeeping? It's 4 in the afternoon.
No, no.
Oh, our suite.
We'll just all agree to hang out do not disturb tags on our door so they won't have to make it
up. They don't come to the end.
They don't have to get the wet vac in there.
But puke in the hallways and on other people's door handles.
Our suite last year was pretty fucked up. It had stuff everywhere.
Real hazmat issue.
It had 3 days of just rage.
There were people sleeping in the closet. No, I think they were locked in the closet. That's different.
I think metaphorically they were coming out, Justin.
It had traces of blue all over the place.
Yeah.
There was blue all over that room.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. They don't have any suites. I was trying. I thought I'd give it a go, but they said they don't have any.
Elevator party.
Doc and I have done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Call Tat and see what they have. See if they have any options. Be more creative than me.
I'll be creative. But, I mean, yeah, if they haven't assigned rooms yet, maybe we can just all call up and each of us, you know, request to have a room next to each other.
Right.
That would take some coordination, though. But
it would. I would be happy to do that as long as my room wasn't part of that string. Because
it's right in the middle.
Because there's a point where I want to get rid of all of you. And I just want to go to bed. I have to,
along about 3 a.m. every night, you just disappeared into your own room.
And it might have to be 2:30 this year because, you know, I'm very important now. I'm on the board.
You're very important.
Right.
And you're a presenter.
I'm a presenter. I have to speak. I'm a very important person this year. I don't know if I can... as you start
That's
to get creaky
important.
As you... I'm not sure I can hang out until 3 a.m.
With the lessers.
Like it's ever going to happen.
With the S's?
I don't know how to go to sleep at these things. It becomes very difficult to...
Heroin.
You don't sleep.
Is that the key?
Yeah.
3 a.m. is probably my limit nowadays, though. 3 a.m. is...
Because you know better or because you just can't take it anymore?
I don't know. Yeah, I think last year I was kind of just... I was done by 3 a.m., you know? Just what was happening. I didn't bring enough Coke to Oakland, I guess. I'll have to bring more Coke to Minnesota so I can Coke stay up all night.
I've got amphetamines, so...
That'll help. That helps in the morning.
I got my ADD meds. They'll keep you up.
I don't need them at night. Staying up at night's fine, actually. I need them in the morning, you know. Give me a bunch of amphetamines and cocaine before my talk.
Adderall.
Yeah, Adderall.
That'll be perfect.
All right, so I'm here to talk to you about... I'll
be back in a minute.
It'd be great. Great. Now if I have a cold, if I have the snivels, everyone's going to think I'm all coked up.
Yep.
That's fine. I don't care.
Hey, my son was born on Mother's Day.
That's a good
20
story.
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Where's he now?
Yep. He's in college now.
What school is
he at?
What
school?
Southeast Missouri State.
Couldn't get out of that Missouri, could he?
Couldn't get out of the Missouri, could he?
Hell no, because it's cheaper, because it's in-state rates.
That's true. Same
He's almost done.
All right, ready to go?
But actually, Southeast Missouri State is as far away as he could get from us. So.
I see.
Yeah, it's almost out of the state.
Tasty, aren't you going to Missouri after
I'm going to St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah.
You
going to see me there?
Don't have the pizza.
No, because I'm going to see your ass the whole week before that.
Well, the next week, on the 23rd at Sheffley's.
Tattoos bunking with you. Didn't know that?
I would really love to go down for that, but I'm going to be so far behind and everything. So
well, it's going to be in the evening.
I won't go down.
Right. Why are you going there?
I have family in that area, and there's a wedding I'm going to.
Oh. Perfect. They're still marrying?
Third time for my brother.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it? It's your brother?
Yeah.
How many brothers you got?
Two.
You do? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are they older or younger than
younger.
And he's on his third marriage.
Yeah, he's like 50. Yeah.
He's like my old man. My old man.
Family story time.
He's been married, I think he's been married 4 or 5 times. I lost count.
What the hell?
Four. I think he's working on number 5. They were always hot, though. And young.
Yeah, still, even more.
Yeah, I used to jerk off to my stepmoms, the hot young stepmoms.
Wow.
Hey, guys, I'm going to get off here because everybody's crying to call in.
All right, later, okay. Tap.
So you got
my first stepmom
problem there.
My first stepmom after my mom was like 18 years old. I think he married like some 18-year-old broad. That was my first time in a V dub, JP.
Yeah,
she had a V dub.
Wait, what?
This 18-year-old broad that my dad married. They were married for like 10 months.
No, back the first time in the V dub. First time riding in one.
Riding in one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was my first time. She was smoking this one. Yeah, everyone would have approved.
Even your dad.
Yeah, my dad approved. My dad was kind of a stud. He still is. I think he does. I think I told you guys. I think he does like the adult friend finder and all that shit now. He's out having fivesomes. I don't even know what he does now. He's getting laid.
He's the Hugh Hef of the year 2000.
He's getting more ass than I ever got. That's for sure. And he's like fucking 50-something. You know what he does?
God, he's old.
You know what he does? He does the, forget the Viagra and all that. He does the injection right into the wang.
Oh, that little clicker thing?
You shoot it right into the wang?
Yeah, it's a clicker. Because
it's instant. And
Where do you get that stuff?
I don't know. You got to ask my dad.
I know the porn stars use it.
And then so does my dad.
Little clicker into there?
Shoot it right in. Believe that?
When I need it?
See, that's what he likes about it. He's like, hey, I don't have to take the pill. I don't have to plan or anything. I just... looks like this is going to happen. Pump it up.
Instantaneous.
Don't date ugly women.
Don't tell him I told you that if you guys ever meet him at another BNA.
What
do you
mean? Hey, wiener injector.
Yeah. Get your injector with
you. I'm curious.
I know you listeners. You're going to run right up to my dad. Hey, I know about you.
Where's the clicker? What's in your pocket?
Let's see it.
Let's see the clicker.
I'm going to go, what?
In your pocket, babe.
Caller, what's happening? You're on the air.
Well, hey, it's Dirk McLarge Huge.
Dirk, what's going on, brother?
I'm drunk off my ass.
Yeah, I can tell.
Sound like it. We already gave away the candy sugar, you know.
Yeah, loser. Oh.
Candy.
But
son of a bitch.
You could still win Drunk of the Week, though. What have you had?
Well, I've had a couple of real ass... Devil's Backbones triples, and then the, you know, I could talk before I called.
Who are you talking to?
Randy T. Well, anybody. Right. I was talking to myself.
Okay.
Randy Teal. Randy Teal, the Omegang brewer.
Yeah.
He gave the... Brewing Network Saison recipe, and I brewed it.
Isn't he the new Glarus brewer now, Randy? Yeah. Go on. Carry on.
Secrets.
Well, I don't know. I'm just drinking.
Stay on track, buddy. Stay on track.
Listen, I don't know too many things.
You guys keep
I don't know a lot about it a lot, but so, I'm drinking.
Dirk, is the tile in your bathroom... Large squares or small squares? I just want to know what the pattern is going to be on your face in the morning.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be small.
Okay.
Small squares. All right. McLarge Huge is our Drunk of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. He's done a great job. He called in. That's how he...
Yeah. He's still dial, baby.
Could not talk, but he could not.
That's how he won today. All right, Dirk, shoot me an email with your address, and we'll get you a medal.
All right. Super.
Good job, brother.
See you
brother.
In Minneapolis.
Oh. Good. See you there, man.
Yay!
I still haven't told my wife I'm going to Minneapolis yet.
I knew that was going to be the case.
No. Well, you know, I figured tonight's like, okay, I'm going to go home. And say, you know, got to go now. because after the show we talked about it and blah blah blah.
Tell her you found out the club's up for like.
You're gonna tell her tonight.
Oh, yeah,
on Mother's
Day.
Well,
tonight. Well, probably tomorrow.
Attaboy.
I'd like to sleep tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Start early in the morning, so because then you're gone. You got to go do errands.
Exactly.
You know? I was thinking about it. You haven't missed an NHC in a while, yeah, so it's pretty expected, isn't it? You haven't. I think you've been to everyone. No, you didn't go to Florida. You've been to everyone since Florida with me.
Yeah, I didn't go to Baltimore. Didn't go to Florida, but I went to the one before that. I went before that, but yeah.
You went to Denver. Obviously, you went to Oakland. Where else?
Cincinnati.
Has it been? Cincinnati, and then now. So it's not a big surprise, is it? It's always a big surprise, anyway.
Yeah.
Good luck, Doc. You want me to tell her?
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'd like to be able to go.
She likes JP, I think.
No, actually, I won't be staying in your hotel, for sure.
Why? What happened?
It was booked months ago.
Oh, so you're across the street?
Or somewhere. My brother works for Hilton, so I'll get a cheap hotel, just about a mile away, probably. Real cheap.
Yeah. Cabot.
A good hotel. Yeah, Cabot.
That's fine.
Cabbage. I'll sleep in the hallway somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't have my room key.
Just stay
in the wrong hotel, dude.
Just stay in the elevator after the party.
Yeah, you put a bed in there. You know, but I wonder how long it would take for somebody to wake me up if I was in there with a pillow and a blanket.
Probably not. I think they'd leave you alone.
Probably would.
They'd know.
Little pillow and blanket going up and down.
They come in and say, oh, hey, little guy.
Hey.
Nice to see you, Doc. Catch you in the hospitality suite in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Good job, everybody. We're out of here. Thanks to our sponsor, Beer, Beer, and More Beer, for
Beer, Beer, More Beer,
sponsoring this program, morebeer.com. Also sponsoring our brew system, our More Beer 1550 that Chad is brewing the crap out of. If a system could be worn out, Chad would be wearing it out.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So thanks to More Beer. Thanks to Belgian Candy Sugar for giving away some more Belgian Candy Sugar. Today, and thanks to Tasty for, I don't know, what you did something
showing
nice
up
today, I'm sure. Thanks for showing up, Tasty, after Boozeville.
I don't have much left.
You're done, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. Good job. You guys have fun up there?
Oh, yeah, a lot of fun.
He's tasteless.
What time did you go to sleep last night?
I have no idea.
Did you pass out or did you go to sleep?
No, I went to sleep.
So you took your shoes off?
Oh, yeah, I took everything off.
Okay.
Had a heater in my tent.
Tasty was naked on the lawn.
Oh, so naked.
Did you know what time it was?
I was in my tent, though.
Did you know what time? I was like, oh.
It didn't matter.
It's so late. I got to go to bed. Or just like,
no,
I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore.
Right.
I was done. I said, I'm tired of drinking. And this is what this is all about. So,
yeah,
I'm out.
Chad, what about you?
Yeah. Had a pretty good weekend.
Did you stay up longer? Stay up longer than him?
Well, we had a malfunction with the air mattress. So.
We?
Well, I borrowed Tasty's air mattress, so yeah. I say we.
I lent him an aero bed that didn't work.
Oh, so you were on the ground.
Well, on the back of his
truck.
His back of his RV.
Oh, you had the ribs in the back.
I thought you just got a new tent.
I did.
What happened?
He couldn't sleep.
Roger used it.
What?
I had to pass it off. I had nowhere to go.
He had no bed to put in it, yeah. So he slept in the car.
Oh, shit. In the 4Runner? Or in your truck?
Yeah, in the truck.
You slept in the Cadillac?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was
great. You're hurting today.
No, I made a nice little nest, you know, with my comforter and sleeping bag and
everybody else's clothes.
Oh, man. If you had a bus, you'd have a bed in the back.
Oh, yeah, Chad.
Oh, yeah.
We saw a lot of those there.
You did?
Oh, absolutely.
Nice. Yeah. I took it to the drive-in last night.
Did you open it at the back with the lawn chairs in the back?
No, I just laid in the back. I opened the hatch and laid in the back.
I got to show you the short lawn chair trick.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. All right, everybody. We're back next week. We'll see you then. We're going to be talking to the guys from Brewing TV, Jake and Dawson. And Chad's working on our topic, too, so we'll let you know that as soon as I know it. And, yeah, thanks for tuning in. And happy Mother's Day to the mothers.
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 Right.
Mothers.
See you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Jerry.